fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me. What have we
done with it? It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Friday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, we're right here in Florida. Thanks to Governor DeSantis, we can now buy a 4-gallon bottle of wine. 4 gallons, one bottle. That's America. Day 1,070. Weep of the Eric in America, say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon to you. Heather has the day off. Dark History Hour 3. Movie Man Mike. Top of the last hour, your remarks in between. 4 gallons. I'm trying to imagine what, I don't know if I've ever seen one. A Nebuchadnezzar, what is it called?
Yeah, a Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. I think I have a bottle.
An empty one?
Yeah, it's empty.
I mean, I've seen cherubims
or this cherub. Thing stands like this tall.
You need. You can't even go to the store and get one by yourself. You know, you need another person there to help you. Last night, if you were fortunate enough to have a one of the $500,000 tickets to the Big Bash. You would have gotten your picture taken, however, you with the three presidents. But if you did it, if you paid the, I don't know what the junior fee was, you would have to pay in exchange for a donation of $100,000 to Biden's reelection campaign. You get a picture. They say $25 million came in before the doors even open. That money will soon be spent by Biden on a ton of TV commercials telling you how great he is and how great America is. They did get interrupted, not only outside. They had an event called Flood Manhattan for Gaza, or a group, I don't know. And they're outside disrupting the entrance, calling Biden war pig, shame on you, blood on your hands. Some people got in to the event. They would stand up and say something like blood on your hands. And of course, security would quickly go and nab them and try to escort them out. And then Obama would say, no, listen, you can't talk all the time. Sometimes you have to listen. Blah, 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 blah. It was an armchair discussion moderated by Stephen Colbert with his pithy little remarks like, it's a historic day in New York City. Three presidents are here, and none of them are here for court. Genocide Joe has to go.
But those protesters that got in, so either they paid the $100,000, or did they get past Secret Service to get into a room with three presidents in it?
There were tickets available for $25,000. Did they pay $250,000. I mean, $250. You could have gotten in for $250.
But you were up in the
you were up in the cheap seats, and you ain't getting a picture taken with any of the three guys, not even one of them. You might be able to get a freebie with Biden. and it was just a massive, group of deranged Hollywood liberal elites cutting six-figure checks to continue the last 3.5 years for another four and a half. There was a few disruptions. A lot of people say this is like, of course there would be two surviving, well, it's actually three, but Carter ain't going anywhere, Democrat presidents. But this is like a last ditch. I mean, you've called in, he's called in Barack in the past, or Barack has said something on his behalf in the past. But you drug Slick Willie out and Barack. You've got a sitting president, two former presidents, all in one room with the power of Lizzo. That's like almost a nuclear explosion of power. But they say it's just like it's his life alert button. He's just pushed because he needs a more than just a little bit of a jolt right now. I want to talk about this first. Disney, our buddies, they have made it clear. There is no question about where they stand on the issues of transgenderism, LGBTQ rights, all that stuff, right?
Yes.
They make no qualms about it. They praise the activists. They fight for them in their company. And, I mean, they fight for them. One of the shareholders, this guy's name is Paul Chesser. He wants the as a shareholder, I want to explain their health insurance policy. Their health insurance they have through Cigna. For example, you're covered if you need a reduction in the size of your testes. You're covered if you need construction of a penis or a vagina. You're covered if you have, for numerous various genital building and amputating procedures, you're covered for puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. Boom. I mean, I don't know what makes a stronger statement than you're supporting transgender rights and you have gone out of your way, and I don't know what it costs to have a, maybe it's not that much more, I don't know, but I don't think our... the health insurance policy at JVC will cover transitions. I don't think Crossjello is going to let that happen. But here's the problem. they don't cover, and there have been several situations, they don't cover those who have chosen to detransition. It's like, we'll give you a ride there, but you're on your own once you get there. I mean, you've footed the bill for, I don't know what the copay is on a vagina. I don't know. Maybe it's $500. Who knows? But you're covering, you've gone out of your way to cover sexual transition surgery, gender, whatever you want to call it, vaginoplasty, penoplasty, whatever you call it. But when those people realize they've made a mistake, they were rushed into it or for whatever, they're happy to help a young girl cut her breasts off, but they're not real thrilled about helping her replace whatever she's lost. The Human Rights Campaign. They love Disney for doing this, for covering it. But they deny that there's even a need for detransitioning care.
That seems silly. If you're going to have health care one way, you should have it both ways.
That's what I'm saying. You're literally denying health care because I believe you want to leave that person stuck in that gender. Why? You believe them. We must believe them. When the child comes to you and says, why? That's the thing, right? If your kid comes to you and says that they're no longer a boy, they're a girl, then you must believe them. They're a girl. Well, what happens when your daughter comes back and goes, hey, you know, about that whole girl thing, I think I'm a boy again. No, sorry, buddy. You're stuck out of luck. The Human Rights Campaign gives out a score for corporations. The Corporate Equity Index ranks companies in part on their commitment to transgenderism. They got a 100% score. Their health insurance covers must include the gender transitions for employees, family members, and dependents. Disney has 100, effectively admitting that it does. It admits it does not cover the cost of detransition treatments. Now, when this shareholder brought it to their attention and wanted some answers, what did Disney do? Because they have a meeting coming up. Well, a shareholders meeting, I believe it's in April. They went to the Securities Exchange Commission for permission to exclude the shareholder proposal at the annual meeting, that it was stated the proposal is moot because it already covers detransitions. They tried to exclude it on technical. They didn't try to get it stopped because it covers detransitions. That's not the reason. They tried to do it on a technical ground. The SEC said sorry. They forced them to keep it in. Disney's gone. Management has urged other shareholders to oppose their proposal. I don't know. Would it affect their 100% score?
What's the giant fight against it? If you have health care, don't you want health care for everybody? This is a health care treatment that this person needs.
Yeah, but they've given up on the dream. They've given up on the ideology. They don't and who are they? You lived it. You know, you've been through it. You were aware. You know, you were probably given pills and scheduled a hysterectomy. Or what do you call it? Boob removal.
Mastectomy.
Yeah, and you know, we're on your way to growing a beard. And then you realize you've made a grave error, and they're like, phew. Either it's one thing, no, you didn't. They either want to tell you that you're wrong, that you really are the opposite gender you were born, or, I mean, honestly, it's either one of two things. It's either that they believed you at first, but now they don't believe you, in essence calling you a liar now, or they want you to suffer. They want you to suffer. I don't know. Listen, a lot of other companies are the same way. Johnson & Johnson, Pepsi Cola, they have the same things. Because they want their 100% score. Their insurance has to cover transgender surgeries, and they do. But they don't cover detransition. The cost and surgical care and psychological care and psychiatric care of detransitioning. You gotta think.
I'm curious if you lose your 100% score if you offer that.
That would be interesting to know. You probably do. We can't have people go. I mean, if the idea behind it is to build numbers of trans people, then don't let them go back. That's just weird. Anyway, April 3rd, I believe, is the shareholders meeting. Very interesting to see how they deal with it. If they don't give these people their due, this guy says it's only a matter of time before a new presidential administration or courts force them. Detransitioners are people too, and it's time Disney and every other company acknowledge their pain instead of blindly seeking activists' praise. You're going to lose favor with activists when you offer care and insurance to detransitioners. They're not going to like it. Why shouldn't they? You're actually transitioning, but you're just transitioning back to where you started.
Yeah, it is the same.
Oh, my God. Another NYC woman is sucker punched. I mean, I'm not laughing because it's not funny that a poor, innocent woman is walking down the streets and gets, and by sucker punch, I mean a wild haymaker thrown when you have no idea it's coming. This woman really got it bad, broke her jaw, knocked out her teeth. She's got her jaw wired shut now. You can't even walk down the street.
No, and that's like the fourth or fifth woman now.
Yeah, that's at least the fourth. Dolce Picardo is her name, 57-year-old woman, walking home from work 5 p.m. Tuesday, boom. Got cold cocked on the sidewalk there. And jaws wired shut. She said, I was really shocked. What's going on? Why did you hit me? I didn't do anything. She lost 3 teeth, facial fracture, and a broken jaw, which is wired shut, as well as nerve damage. She'll be drinking out of a straw for 3-4 weeks, which, you know, you probably drop 8-10 pounds, maybe more. Her brother, who owns a restaurant nearby, and an employee chased the guy down the street. He was identified by police as a 33-year-old Franz Judy. He denied hitting her, blah, blah, blah. He's charged third-degree assault misdemeanor. He's not bail eligible, released despite two previous arrests, including one in 2018, second-degree assault, and the attack on a cop. He also was charged with an assault in 2019. She's like, every time I see a man now on the street, I'm crossing the street. I'm not going to walk close to anybody. Yeah. You're just walking. Minding your own business. And what do? They roll the guy through the jail to take his photograph and take him out and let him out the back door. See you later.
Probably there less than an hour.
That is just insanity. I think a lot of these big cities' woes would end. In terms of crime, it is a noticeable climb in crime stats. I'm not talking about murder and shootings. I'm talking about beatings, assaults, and robberies since the bail reform. That was the start of it all.
Well, it did what it wanted to do, which was make the numbers look good. The numbers right now look good. They say, oh, look across the way. Murders, assault, it's all down. Well, yeah. And then also you have women getting punched in the face and the National Guard down the subway. So yeah. Something's not right there. Just because you're not charging people doesn't mean that crimes aren't being committed anymore.
That's true. There, you know, not to, I mean, I don't know that all the snatch and grabs, the iPhone, the smartphone snatches, the purse snatchings, the moped gangs, their individual crimes, are they logged into, you know, those have got to be through the roof. Okay, great. Murder's down. Pat yourself on the back, but look around you. You got people throwing each other on the shooting cops to death, throwing people on the subway train tracks. Well, oh, fourth. It's fourth. The last one was a female TikToker named Jill Burke, also Techno Union Square. Subject arrested and released on his own recognizance. To punch again.
God. Can you be released on your own recognizance unless you've been arrested multiple times that they know who you are? Is it like being released on, hey, we know who this guy is, that's why we're releasing him?
You think that's a benefit to them? Well, yeah, you know he is because he's been here many times.
I mean, you released a guy by saying, no, we know who he is. I mean, usually, used to be you weren't released on recognizance unless you were somebody famous or someone they knew wasn't going to disappear. So you're telling me that they were like, oh, yeah, this guy's hit enough women. We know who he is. He'll be back next week.
We know the neighborhood he beats women in. One idiot YouTube star from America. He goes by, his name is Addison Pierre Malouf, known as your fellow Arab, or just Arab. He left his home in Atlanta to travel to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. The reason? He wants to interview Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier, the G9 gang leader. But within 24 hours after his arrival, Malouf and a Haitian colleague were taken hostage, kidnapped by the 400 Mawozo gang. So the Mawozo gang said, we need $40,000 ransom for this guy. And they sent it to secure his release. And then they went, oh, yeah, well, that was so easy for you. We need $600,000. They've confirmed the Arab has been kidnapped in Haiti. We're working on getting him out. Hopefully he'll be out soon.
I love this guy. I thought, oh, I'm a YouTuber. I'm definitely just going to be a walk into Haiti and talk to whoever I want to.
I mean, I don't. I'm sure there's maybe. I don't know. Is there internet in Haiti right now? Is it?
I mean, did he send a message to Barbecue to ask if he could even interview him, or did he think he was just going to walk into Barbecue's hangout?
Or just walk down the street? And go, where's Barbecue's office? Yeah. I'm looking to interview him. Does Barbecue have a YouTube channel? Is he familiar with your favorite Arab, your fellow Arab?
Oh, your fellow Arab, yeah. Come on down.
Big fan of yours. That's why we kill you and eat you. This city is completely run by gangs. He claims he had secure, safe passage, but he says, you know, all it takes is one stupid gang member holding an AK-47 for one thing to go wrong. The whole YouTube community is upset by it, but, I mean, I don't know what you expected to accomplish. I don't hold out. I mean, what do you do? You call the State Department and ask for them to come get you out?
I don't think they're going to either.
I don't think so either. I think he's on his own. Stupid. He'd have better off going to Ukraine and hanging out with Zelensky. When we return, though, I've got it. This is a fantastic story. It's a group of protesters on the campus at Vanderbilt. How many hours they spend in there? 12 hours?
12, I believe.
12 hours. You'd think that these people were on the Bataan Death March when they got out. They called 911 because a girl needed to change her tampon. It was a medical emergency, according to them. We've got the audio, too. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
I'm rolling now.
Well, the other morning, a wave of some undergrad students at Vanderbilt rushed Kirkland Hall, that's where the chancellor's office is, and began their sit-in. Their response to the college administration shutting down a student government vote over whether the school should divest funds from Israel. They remained there for about 21 hours before they blew the Harvard's 12-hour deal. Police started removing and arresting them. Some of them have since been suspended. And there's some weird moments in this. They called the black officers puppets. The administrators brought food in from Panera to feed the cops, but not the students, and they thought it to be a human rights abuse. but I think more than that, the most interesting moments came from the tampon incident. Here we go. All right, so they called 911 because one of the women, and they were worried that they may go into toxic shock because she has a tampon in it and it's been in for a while. And because the cops told them that they have broken the law, and as soon as they got up to leave, they would be arrested, right? So they call 911. Claiming a medical emergency because she might get toxic shock. I think it's funny in this video. You hear a dude named, Dr. Shock, man. And the lady, the 911 lady, God bless her.
Being denied the right to change her tampon that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. So while you're saying...
I'm a female, I understand.
Right, so then you should understand... Okay, what you are not hearing is that if she stands up to use the restroom to change her tampon, they are threatening arrest. So it is not an option for her.
Ma'am, you have an emergency.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
That is an emergency.
Do you have an emergency? Not your friend that's inside. Do you have an emergency?
That is my emergency.
I don't remember the time that I needed to have an emergency personally to call 911 for help.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't remember a time when it has to be a personal emergency for me to call 911 for help.
These bitches, man. Jesus. They just, they want to mouth off to everybody.
I am requesting assistance, medical urgent assistance.
Okay, what I'm telling you, Okay, so you're telling me your friend in Kirkland needs an ambulance.
She needs...
Is that what you're telling me?
Here's another.
Like a serious situation. I need to know there's someone here who's going to go into like toxic stuff.
And we will take care, but we're going to escort them out.
Okay, hold on. She leaves the building, and then what happens?
If we leave the building, right, let's take her back to room and get food. And that's all I can tell you right now, right? Get food,
I
get
need
drink.
To know what is going to happen when she leaves the building.
It's like she's going to be are you going to execute her in cold blood? Her voice is shaking. You're on campus. If you get arrested on campus, you sit on a bench.
What did you expect to get happen, though? You went in wanting to get yourself arrested for a protest. What did you think was going to happen if she got up and walked out?
She's not going to be arrested if she leaves her building.
Okay, 100%.
Right. So we will not be arrested as soon as we leave the building.
No, you're not going to be arrested as soon as you leave the building, right? If you want to go back and get, I don't know. If I knew, I would tell you.
Why don't you?
Because I don't know.
Okay,
why don't you know?
So who knows?
Right. Well, I don't know yet. All I know is, if we have to face a medical situation, let's get them the medical attention they need. Let's get her to her room, right?
Oh, my God.
And when you go out the room, you're not going to be arrested for leaving the building.
She does not feel safe. You have verified.
Oh, when they start clapping to emphasize every word, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, you know you're about to get just complained at.
Nothing for her.
All you've sent is a letter.
She's not arrested. If she goes to her room, she is arrested.
That's not what I said.
No,
that's not what I said.
You said she cannot stay
that's
in her
not
room.
What I said.
You didn't say she could stay in her room, though.
Let's see what this audio is.
Coward!
You're a coward!
You're a coward! Daniel Dearmeyer is a coward, okay? His staff said that he was not in the moment, so he couldn't meet with us. He was in that elevator 5 minutes ago!
God. Unbearable, these kids. It really is just... And here they are emerged from their horrible ordeal that somehow they were forced to stay there.
They were forced to watch the cops eat Panera that was delivered to the officers.
Water delivered to us. They deprived us of the right to using the restroom. They deprived us of medical care when some of our students needed it. And in essence, they tried to break us.
Okay. He says they deprived us of water and food and medical care, like they've been in a prison camp somewhere in Vietnam. They didn't deprive you of water. You should have brought some water with you or gotten out to go to the water fountain. You should have also thought about food.
Yeah,
just because you're sitting in, it's like you think you're like a ward of the state now, but long as you're there, they have to feed you. They have to bring you water. They have to give you, and I don't think that a tampon is necessarily considered medical care.
Well, I mean, if she had it in there for a day or two.
Again.
Well, why don't you start with, hey, we're going to have a long sit-in. Let's everybody, all right, bag check. Everyone got some water. Everyone got some food. All right, let's go ahead right now. Let's change out all the tampons. We got a couple hours to go.
Change them out now. Bring a couple extras with you. This poor guy.
Water delivered to us. They deprived us of the right to using the restroom. They deprived us of medical care when some of our students needed it. And in essence, they tried to break us. They tried to break our bodies. They tried to break our spirits.
They tried to break their bodies and break their spirits.
They broke my voice a little bit, clearly. But they're not going to manage because they all think like individuals and we're thinking as a collective and we're thinking of everybody here when we do this and we're thinking of everybody in Gaza when we do this.
Okay. Here's one girl.
It was very clear when we went in yesterday morning that we stayed and we did not leave. The conditions throughout the day were horrible, as you have heard. We hear a lot about cruelty in this world.
They're in an air-conditioned building in the foyer, sitting on carpet in a climate-controlled environment.
And there was no officers beating them or...
Yeah. They tell her they just got out of Hanoi Hilton.
So we stayed and we did not leave. The conditions throughout the day were horrible, as you have heard. We hear a lot about cruelty in this world, from Palestine to Nashville. Our oppressors are the same. They use the same tactics. They consult with each other. They laugh their sick little laughs, and they kill. We were dealing with some pretty evil people yesterday, and yeah, it was very disheartening because I am surrounded by very wonderful hearts and minds. Everyone here is, without a doubt, one of the most loving, caring, kind.
We had to tap out messages through the air vent system so we could talk to each other in Morse code.
Their lips got chapped because they were so parched.
They refused to turn the dehumidifier on in the HVAC system. They literally come out of there like they just got out of a prison camp. They tried to break us. They put us in that bamboo cage in the water with rats. Then they made us play Russian roulette against each other. Oh, my. The sense of self-importance. And now they're just patting themselves on the back because they're just, I mean, they suffered greatly in there.
And it didn't change anything.
Not a thing.
Not one bit. Vanderbilt's still doing the same thing.
Yep. Not divesting. Did you know Whoopi Goldberg at one time weighed 300 pounds?
It doesn't surprise me. I've seen some of those pictures.
I have seen a couple of pictures. They must really hide it well on that show. She says she's grateful for Manjaro. She said, I was 300 pounds. I couldn't breathe. I was like, oh, please, God. Oh, this works. She said the only way she has type 2 diabetes. The medication, well, she didn't have type 2 diabetes, but it's the only way doctors could jumpstart her system. So your system had a dead battery or something, and she had to have it jumpstarted.
Yeah, it wasn't the, you know, lack of any type of exercise or
dieting
or anything like that.
No, she's a victim of a system that needed jumpstarting. I don't know what she weighs now, but she's considerably thinner. She was rumbling, stumbling there for a while. But have you seen Tom Cruise's latest Russian girlfriend?
I have not.
Elsina Kairova? Well, you missed her chance.
Oh, already?
Yeah. It does appears to have nothing to do with Tom. I knew this is his people.
Oh, Scientology got to him.
Yeah. His team was concerned about her ex-husband, Dmitry Zvetkov. He gave a long interview to the Daily Mail detailing their marriage and talking about her with Cruz and warning him to keep his eyes and his wallet open. And they say that his team were concerned. After they read that article, they said, listen, Tom's filming right now and he can't be shooting and have her husband saying stuff every time he's mentioned in the press. They just don't want to deal with the ex-husband coming up with something nasty to say every couple of weeks. So we've decided that Tom is breaking up with her. Tom wakes up in his room and his guy, butler, opens the curtains. He's like, oh, and he feels the bed nice. She's not there. And they go, I'm sorry, sir. You've broken up with her.
Yes.
Yes. It wasn't her, it was you. And you've just grown your separate ways. And he's like, okay.
Xenu has decided that you must separate from him.
That's something else. She is also the daughter of a Vladimir Putin ally, a politician named Renat Kairova. He is British citizenship as well and is reportedly on the Kremlin's most wanted list. He claims to have survived several assassination attempts. Maybe he wanted his daughter to be Tom Cruise because who's better at assassination attempt? You know, Tom will stop it in its tracks. Wow. Yeah, in the article, her ex-husband said he spent over $12 million on her clothing, $2.5 million on handbags, and paid her $200 million of the divorce. She also got a mansion in London, a Bentley, a Ferrari, and a Cartier watch. Oh, and a Renoir and a Chagall.
Oh.
Man. Yow. He just said, look, irrespective of whoever she's with, Tom Cruise or anybody else, they ought to be aware that she likes the finer things in life and has expensive and luxurious tastes. That's that. I know Tom Cruise got a lot of money. I don't know if he's got as much as a tycoon, you know, a Russian tycoon guy. However, they say Tom's not taking the breakup too badly at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, install me another girlfriend.
Yes, I need one right away. Find a short one. I think now there was a question whether Beyonce's leap into country music was going to be accepted or not. So I think she's done a collab with Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson on the album. So the country people kind of have to like it?
I mean, they don't have to, but she definitely picked some people that can ease her into it.
Well.
She kind of rewrote the lyrics to Jolene, though. It's a little odd.
Yeah, and apparently they have some kind of spoken word discussion about Becky with the good hair or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, if it works for her, good. I laugh at the headlines that are like, will Beyonce's Cowboy Carter album finally bring country music back? Like,
bring country music back?
I mean, Morgan Wallen won like 50 awards over the past couple of years. It's not exactly gone away.
Yeah, I don't think it's gone anywhere. Yet another State Department official just resigned because of... the horrific support for Israel's war against Hamas. Anel Shaleen is her name, from the State Department Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor. A fairly significant public departure from that department. All over Gaza. And then you see, I mean, she's a smart person. The guy Josh Paul, the guy from the Bureau of Political Military Affairs, also quit. But they use the word genocide.
Well, they know that's the only way that it actually sounds like sense that they quit their job. I mean, there's nobody quitting their job over Russia being invading Ukraine.
No,
there's nobody at all. They want to make sure this one. Oh, we got to put word genocide on there. Otherwise, we look silly quitting our job over it.
I mean, it's silly anyway. It wouldn't matter at this point. You know, Biden is asking Netanyahu to withdraw. Right? He's currently asking them for them to cease fire and stop and withdraw. He can't physically make Netanyahu stop. They've stopped sending some weapons.
I think some of them in their mind want U.S. troops on the ground against Israel to keep them out of Palestine.
Who?
You follow some of those protesters. They would love that.
U.S. troops to keep Israel out of Gaza?
Yes.
I mean, she said, I wasn't planning to go public on this thing. I started to tell people I was going to resign quietly. And I said, you know what? They kept saying, please don't. Please go public if you're going to quit. But please, if you're willing to do so. So I did. He said, I think the pressure is why we're starting to see the administration shifting here. Well, why don't you stick around? I mean, it's got to be over at some point, right? No.
I mean, sooner or later, but they've been fighting for, 100 years now and longer than that. So yeah,
that's true. It's just another wave. I've heard Israeli politicos say they don't know that they can completely eradicate Hamas. You know, who knows? It's probably Hamas is it's a lot of people, but it's also an idea and ideology, so. You could eliminate every known Hamas fighter. Some little Muhammad is going to grow up to be to kick it off again.
It's no different than we're back with the ISIS again. The Taliban comes right back again. Those things you you can't completely eradicate them.
True. The squatter in New York said he's ready to give up. He drives a Range Rover. He claims that he's been a victim of a, he was scammed into renting that house with a fake lease by a bogus realtor. So he says, I'm not a squatter. But I was planning to pump this place full of migrants. He was wrongly thinking the city would pay him $1,000 a month per migrant. He really was divvying up the to make apartments in there.
We said that. We said it seemed like he was trying to fit multiple families in there, and that's exactly what he was doing. He was trying to set it up so he could. He thought that he was going to get $1,000 per family in there, so he was going to make rent off of that.
But now he says he's willing to leave as long as they pay him $18,000. He said, I can't just walk out. He should, without the money, he said, I'll take 1 or 2 months to move them out and I'll just give it back. It's the right thing to do. So there were some families ready to move in there, huh? Or he thought he had some families ready to move in. His name is, what is this cat's name? Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Is his last name? He told the Post he was scammed, and he said, I told the lady, Andalaro, to pay him $18,000 towards what he has spent on repairing the plumbing, doing some electrical work, repainting and cleaning the house. Work that they never asked him to do.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. You don't get to just build onto somebody's house that you stole.
I think it would be better just to say, look, you pay me $18,000. That's what I got scammed of, first, last, and whatever, and a deposit, and I'll take my money and go rent another place. He said, I feel horrible.
I mean, he's obviously lying in the first place, though,
yeah.
Because he says, oh, well, I got a scam lease to rent the place. I don't know any place that I've ever been able to rent that's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you can go ahead and just tear the place up and sublet it to as many people as you want.
That's true. Well, it was a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,646 square foot home. He said, Rodriguez signed the lease, which he showed the Post, $3,200 a month. No public records exist for a New York realtor called Ronnie Ferg, who allegedly conned him. His immigrant deal never came together. He said, I rented the rooms to local people who needed places to sleep. They work for Uber and Instacart. They can't afford $2,000 a month. Some pay $9, some pay $1,000. Once they started using the showers, water started to leak into the living room in the basement. It was a big mess. I had to fix it myself. Ronnie Ferg told me to fix it myself because the owners were too cheap. He would make sure I got a break on my rent and said, don't pay for February. Moving in and cleaning, he said, cost me $24,000 or $25,000. He detailed a bill of $9,600 given to the realtor, $97 on new water pipes, $4,000 on electrical work, cleaning, and painting. He said, that's all my money. I rushed into this. Ronnie Ferg conned me. There's no record of a Ronnie Ferg. Ronnie Ferg. All right. When we return, everybody apparently does it on Air Force One. If you remember the media in the back there, there's been a lot of pilfering. I would pilfer too if I was on Air Force One and I got a chance to get like some Air Force One flatware that had the seal on it or a plate.
Oh, yeah, it's going in my pockets.
Yeah, I'm going to find a way to get an ashtray. I don't know if they'll have the ashtrays anymore. But you'll be surprised at the stuff that people have taken. And they've kind of got an amnesty program for you to be able to give it back. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Pilfering from Air Force One. You know, I thought they would maybe, I don't know, it's not a hotel. They don't really expect you to take it. But there's an email circulating that says, if you maybe, I don't know, inadvertently wound up taking, you know, something off of Air Force One, we can facilitate a quiet return. There is embroidered pillowcases. Air Force One plates. The reporter that took the pillowcase had done so probably not by accident.
Yeah, it's a little hard to accidentally strip a pillowcase off there.
Yeah, so they arranged a meeting, and the item changed hands, and that was that. He returned it. It's got full blown amnesty for the pillowcase. The reporters were called coming down the back stairs after returning from Joint Base Andrews in the evening with the sounds of clinking glassware or plates in their backpacks. I used to have a box. You were allowed to take them. I wish I could remember this. Congressman Rick something. I'll think of it in a minute. From here. It was Orlando. And he was on Air Force One at some point. This is 20 years ago. And he got a box, a white box, you know, small, two or three times the size of a matchbox, you know, a couple inches by a couple inches. And you open it, it's white on the outside, embossed with Air Force One and the presidential seal. And you open it, it was a little bag, a plastic bag inside that maybe had a dozen peanut M&Ms in it.
Was it Keller?
Rick Keller, yeah. Thank you. So they... guests have been helping themselves. In 2015, they reported the reality of entertaining in the executive mansion despite the elegant setting, or maybe because, but there's always a risk that items disappear into visitors' pockets, purses, and other places. You'd want a souvenir, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I can't believe they don't have, like, souvenirs. They don't have, like, match boxes anymore.
Right,
or something
to keep
like
from
that.
Stealing stuff.
Yeah. You should have, like, a little gift bag every time. Like, all right, here's your Air Force One gift bag. Now give me the pillowcase back.
Small outbreaks of petty thievery have occurred at the White House. Most of the pilfering is minor, they say. Plush towels embossed with the presidential seal from the washroom. Cheap spoons that they rent from a caterer for large parties. But other stuff like place card holders, small silver spoons, cut glass pieces that dangle from sconces in the women's washroom. On Air Force One, everything from tumbler glasses to pillowcases have been taken by reporters, staff, and lawmakers. Politico said they told a story about a senator in the front of the plane taking everything not nailed down. They are trying to clamp down on it now. That was a little terse reminder in the email.
Oh, what are times tough? You can't find another Air Force One pillowcase?
Yeah. They did say, Kelly O'Donnell at NBC said that you can get Air Force One logo stuff that you can buy commercially. But it wasn't on Air Force One. That's like you bought a moon rock, but it didn't come from the moon. The glasses, they say, that are sold on the site aren't the same ones they have on the plane. Same with the blankets. That's why the ones on board are so coveted. Sticky fingers. I reported on this years ago. Well, they came complete with bloody photographs. Man, they've got a special... a unique brand of Catholicism in the Philippines. They do not play. Every year, about 10 Filipino men nail themselves, or someone nails them, to wooden crosses. And they put them in you've seen it.
Oh, yeah. It's,
for real
it's
nails.
Bloody, yeah.
I mean, 4-inch long, they do use stainless steel, which is, you know.
Oh, that's good. Less infection chance.
But, I mean, where do you go through the hand... where that doesn't do permanent. This is the one. This guy Ruben Anahe, 63-year-old carpenter. He's a carpenter and a painter, so he uses his hands all the time. Then once a year, he drives a nail in him, or has his buddy drive a nail in him.
He's been doing it for 35 years.
But you have so a hole.
He's got probably a pretty nice spot to aim for.
God. They're real life crucifixions without the death. They draw a lot of tourists for this. In the Pampanga province, north of Manila, they're happy the ritual is resumed last year after a 3-year hiatus due to the pandemic.
Yeah. You definitely cannot nail a guy to the cross during a pandemic.
Well, it just doesn't look right to be nailed to a cross wearing a mask, you know. You know, he's going to pray for peace in Gaza, in the Ukraine. They pray for people in the villages that go ask them, pray for them and their family. The villagers dress up as Roman centurions. They hammer 4-inch stainless steel nails through their palms and their feet, and then they put them up there. They only stay up for 10 minutes, which is a good, you know.
They're going to feel it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have to have something that you put your weight on. You can't hang your weight of your body from nails in your hands, right?
I mean, maybe for 10 minutes.
They're up there for 10 minutes, and a big crowd comes up and takes pictures of them.
So, yeah, your local church this weekend, they're putting on that.
Slacking.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They got a purple sash on the cross outside. One first-time tourist said, here, we would like to grasp what it mean. Easter in a completely different part of the world. Some of the penitents walk barefoot through the streets. They make sure that they open cuts on the backs with glass or whatever. They make it as bloody as possible. Mm. A lot of other people, you know, sure, the church leaders don't like this either. They frown on this self-flagellation and crucifixion. But, like I said, very unique brand of Catholicism in the Philippines. They aren't messing around. I couldn't do it. I already got arthritis in my hands.
I can imagine having to have a nail wound heal every year.
And through the top of your foot.
Yeah.
Oh. They don't get paid. They do this for free.
Yeah. They're showing their faith.
God. This is a very troubling in a school in Great Britain. School picture time. At the Aboyne Primary School, parents got sent a link from the company, like you normally do. You look at a couple of shots, you approve, you make your little order. This one gave a brand new option that they've never seen before, and some parents were concerned. The photography company offered the parents a chance to have the class picture with the whole class, and then another one without the special needs kids in it.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can get away with that one so much. Was there a request for that where, like, they call on the this picture company, like, hey, can you get the wheelchair kid out of there?
It's a Tempest is the name of the company, one of the biggest school photography companies in England. And despite pictures being taken with, which included all the pupils, parents were also given the option for either. I don't know. Here's the other part. The whole class is there. You take the picture, take a couple pictures, and you go, okay, you and you and you and you in a wheelchair, out.
No, they probably did that before.
Do you think it's digitally done? That they didn't exclude them physically. They just later took them out digitally.
No, I think they, because they said they took multiple shots. So I think they probably did one with everybody first, and then they're like, all right, everybody, now we're going to bring in the special needs kids and get them in a picture, too, with everybody.
The small bus just pulled up. I'd also like to know how many parents checked that box.
That's what I'd like to know, too. How many did it?
Thank God there's an option here. I mean, you effectively erasing kids from your class. And if it's in a yearbook, You've erased him from history, from your history anyway. They do say this decision was not taken by the school, and the link to the photos was immediately removed. The photography company told the news they're investigating the matter. They'd spoken to both the photographer involved in the school. They added they had no further comment at this time. It is understand some class photographs were taken before the pupils with additional support needs were brought in. Oh, it's terrible. God.
Yeah, who are the parents that clicked yes?
With technology today, you could probably just go, look, I want this kid, that kid, and this kid taken out of this photograph. Right? I mean.
Yeah, but now you're adding to the parents are like, all right, so do you want the photo with the no special needs? Do you want this photo also with no brown kids in it?
I mean, the school had to be involved because they took a photo and then they brought in the special needs kids. Were they keeping them waiting somewhere, eating crackers and juice? Well, you can't just sit here, eat your crackers, okay? And then they took the picture, then they brought them in? God. Oh, boy. It's terrible. The science is in on the dad bod, and I think we owe Travis Kelce a lot for it. And it's not speculation about the dad bod. 75% of singles are fans of that dad bod. They like a figure that isn't chiseled. They echo a previous poll from Planet Fitness. 78% of women that men with dad bods are confident in their own skin, while half the gals surveyed argued that a bouncy belly is the new six pack. 83% of moms say they'd be proud to have a husband with a wee bit of chub. For the research, though, reveals that women don't find portly men physically attractive. Instead, they rate flabbier guys higher on the evolutionary fitness traits. Affectionate, nurturant, friendly, and good parental potential. The ultra-macho men with the guns and the chiseled abs tend to have higher levels of testosterone, causing the opposite sex to perceive them as aggressive and unappealing. Psychology Today, a university professor, Joel Wade, wrote that women might find a male they assume to have lower testosterone levels more appealing because he'd be assumed to be less aggressive and have characteristics that would make for a better partner.
And, you know, look what T-Swizzle's doing.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. If dad bod's good enough for her, it's good enough for any girl.
But he really doesn't have a dad bod. He's a professional athlete making millions of dollars.
Yeah. He's not chiseled, but he is in great shape.
Yeah, he doesn't carry around, an Arnold at peak physical shape because that's not what you want to have for that sport.
They call him cushiony. Kelce sent tongues wagging after cutting a cushiony physique on the sands of the Bahamas alongside Taylor. Cushiony. Additional studies found that extremely attractive men are more likely to cheat owing to the fact that they tend to have more offers to engage in affairs. Women are less concerned with their beau will stray if he's chunky.
It's definitely double standards when all these articles are written about Travis Kelce being chubby or chunky or cuddly or whatever. I saw those pictures. Old Taylor's got herself a little belly going on, too, in those pictures. But, you call that out, people would freak.
Yeah, she does. It looks good on her, though.
Yeah, nothing wrong with the way she looks. Nothing wrong with the way Travis looks.
But they call her cushiony.
Yeah.
The Swifties would come for you. All the Swifties agree. Travis Kelce has a dad bod. So hot. I'm sorry, but Travis Kelce is so hot. I get it, Taylor. I get it. She'd be dating
she could be dating Sloth from the Goonies.
Yeah, right now. And yeah.
Oh, Taylor's dating Sloth. Sloth guys are in.
They're hot. I think they're hot. If you're a fan of the rotisserie chicken at Costco, it's about to undergo a major change.
Are they getting smaller?
No. They're not getting smaller, and they're because and it is a loser for them. They don't make any money on it. But it's, you know, it's the their lost leader, you know.
Yeah, because nobody wanders into a Costco just to grab one chicken.
No. Although I have rationed that a membership would be worth just the chicken and the hot dog deal.
Yeah, but you would have to actually then go to a Costco get the chicken or the hot dog.
Yeah. So the only real way to change it, to make it cheaper for them, not changing the recipe or the size or any of that stuff, the only way that they can change it is to ditch the hard plastic shell that it comes in.
We're going to get like a bag? Is it going to be a chicken sack?
Plastic bag. I'm surprised at that price. That means you pick it up with your hands and carry it out.
Oh, that can't be very environmentally friendly. They can't get some sort of eco chicken bag to put it into?
Costco people are not happy in the stores that it's already flipped to. They said they'd missed that damn plastic container. They never had any fluid leaks like it does in the bag. Once it said, I like to use the lid to when I pick through the chicken to put the bones in. Now I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, well, be a real man and eat the chicken with one hand, throw the bones back into the bag.
I mean, what do you want? It's a $4.99. Right? Isn't that the price all the time?
I haven't gotten one in forever. I know the ones at Publix have gotten more expensive.
Yeah, they're small, too. I get that. I put one away while standing over the kitchen sink with the water running. this is in Spain. I guess a lot of outdoor dining there, al fresco dining in Spain. And, you know, I don't mind sitting outside if the weather's okay, but I don't want to sit in the direct sunlight.
No. It's terrible.
Well, Spain has brought in a new contentious new law. So restaurant owners can now charge you a premium to sit in the shade. In one of the country's hottest provinces, the Junta Andalusia, in the country's arid south, has ruled that venues can set different price points for tables depending on whether they are in the sun or in the shade. Why you get charged? You get charged for the table alone, or you get charged?
Oh, yeah, it's a table setting. You get charged more for sitting in the shaded table.
Wow. Ruben Sanchez from the Consumer Association says bars, cafes, and restaurants will be able to charge a little bit more. They can clearly advertise the higher price. But there are going to be limits on what they can charge for some shade. You can't charge for a specific view.
Well, that would be something you think you could charge for.
Yeah, no kidding. You charge for shade. I mean, could that mean that you could set you're all out of shady tables. We have that table right there. It's in the sun. You could sit there for $20. I can have, Rico run an umbrella out there, and it's $50. Right?
That's what it sounds like. I mean, I get it. A lot of those places have no air conditioning.
It's hot there, too. Under the new laws, customers cannot be obligated to pay for bottled water, as tap water should be available for them.
But you can charge them if they ask for ice cubes.
That's weird that bars want to. So you can't even sit down without paying for a table, or once you sit down, whatever you order is going to be more because you're enjoying it in the shade.
No, I think it's more that they can be like, all right, it doesn't cost anything to sit out on the patio, but if you want the shade table, it's going to cost you an extra $5-$10.
That sounds really stupid.
But they're going to have it happen though.
Yeah. What's 47 degrees? 47.6 centigrade. That's hot. That was the record high.
117 degrees.
Oof.
Fahrenheit.
At that point, I'm paying. I don't care. I'm paying for shade. How about we, Mr. Brooke, we spray water in your face for $45 extra, huh?
Give me two.
If you are planning a trip to China, I even think if you're buying something for China or you got Chinese dude coming over to your house, beware. The China is now experiencing a very big problem with the super gonorrhea.
It burns so bad, you have super gonorrhea. It's unstoppable. Drip, drip.
This thing is a monster. Like the regular class of antibiotics, this gonorrhea just laughs at it. They have to bring on a new class of antibiotics called fluoroquinolones. Fluoroquinolones. Cipro's on the list, but this stuff is also developing a resistance to Cipro. You can't even beat this gonorrhea out of somebody. They've warned for a long time this gonorrhea is getting, you better watch it. It's worse and worse. I mean, to a point where it could kill you.
And it spreads like crazy.
Everyone's banging everybody, right?
Enough that it seems to be, I think it's more that just they don't go to the doctor. And two, when they don't have the actual antibiotics that needed for this super gonorrhea.
Yikes. It's now they use ceftriaxone, but now there is a spread of a ceftriaxone resistant super gonorrhea. Like soon, this gonorrhea is just going to walk down a street like Godzilla, like, gonorrhea. They don't wrap it up over there in China. That's the problem. Aren't they having a birth rate plunge as well there?
I think theirs is kind of self-inflicted for a long time when they had the everyone was a one-child household, and if it wasn't a girl, most wanted a male, so they would go to back alley abortions, yeah, get rid of them.
Yeah. Now your kid's born with gonorrhea. Way to go. I don't know if this qualifies as something being put up your butt, but yes, we do have a story about, it's very sad too. This one resulted in death.
Yeah, we couldn't have a Friday without one.
No, we'll do it when we get back. It sounded to me like something playful. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they were playing around. A little frat boy style, went too far with it.
Yeah, a bit too far. We'll get to it when we return. It has a lot to do with the proper PSI for your rectum. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
EO.
Hochul was asked to leave the Jonathan Diller service today. I guess in a couple of days of viewing. And she was seen approached by a man in a suit. And then she walked out and to applause. A bunch of people just applauded.
Applauded her leaving, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have thought that she would understand that she's not welcome there.
Yeah, they told they did not want those politicians there.
Well, yeah. Inmate in Hawaii. At least he died a free man. He did die. He broke out of jail, jumped onto an interstate, hit by a car, and died instantly. Can you imagine the emotion? I'm free. Oh, I'm dead.
Was it worth it? I mean, I'm curious. I didn't get a chance to look to see what this guy's rap sheet was. Like, was he there for life? Or was this a guy that was staying like 3 to 5 and he decided he got, oh, I got a chance to get free and then got waffled by a car crossing a highway?
He was there continuing. It was a minimum security place. Good with that, bad. But he did scale a fence with razor wire. And the correctional officers started to chase him. They lost sight of him. Then they heard a loud sound on a crash on the interstate and ultimately found him. He made it 100 yards from the jail. Kauai Jail, the Kauai Community Correctional Center. He was serving time for drugs.
Oh, so he probably wasn't even going to be there that long.
What? Where are you going to go if you escape? You're on Kauai. I mean,
he's going to swim his way to one of the other islands.
I guess. I mean, that's you're on an island. They're searching for the driver of the vehicle who fled. He had a hit and run.
Oh, man, how'd you feel about that, too? If you're the guy that panicked because you ran someone over and then you check the news, you're like, oh, it was a convict that was an escaped convict. You're going, ah, oh, I fled for no reason. I probably would have gotten away with hitting that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but a hero. I got a reward involved. All right. According to the cops here, a man in Bengaluru has died from a rectal-related incident. I used to have one of these. It broke. I need to get one, another one. When you wash a motorcycle, they make a tool. It's a very powerful handheld vacuum that blows, you know, you're not vacuuming, but you're blowing, you're using the exhaust side. And it starts with at about a 6-inch diameter and the nozzle. And with about a foot, it cones down to like an inch, 2-inch hole. So it's real powerful. So once you wash your bike, you can't get in there and dry all the heat shields and stuff. I use a leaf blower now. It's the same thing. Well, Yogesh, the man's name, was at the CNS Bike Center where his buddy Murali worked. Murali was employed there, and his buddy Yogi went to get his motorcycle washed. After the motorcycle was washed, they started playing around, with the electric blower. That's so fun. Murali first used the blow dryer on Yogesh's face and then his back. Finally, he hit his butt with it, pumped it full of hot air, went into his body via his anus, and his abdomen expanded, and then he collapsed. The high pressure of the blow dryer did massive damage to Yogi's intestines. He needed an emergency operation. He failed to respond to the treatment at the hospital and died.
Got blown up like a balloon.
I wonder, does it say on the side of this thing, do not blow up your buddy's anus with this?
I bet it does now. Please do not insert into rectum.
Damn. Is this guy guilty of murder now?
I think they did arrest him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The case has been filed. Culpable homicide.
Imagine that court case. And so, did you insert the nozzle into your friend's rectum?
Was he naked at the time, or?
It's probably one where he's like, snatched the shorts down, jammed it up there. Ha ha.
Oh my God. Well, unless it wasn't embarrassing for Yogesh, you know, he wasn't trying to do something sexual with his own anus. He's just trying to dry his motorcycle off. Oh, it's horrible. Let's get to these remarks, shall we?
All right.
From the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. Your headquarters for archives, podcasts of the show, commercial-free, are all there. Hit the little button at the bottom and you'll have 30 seconds. Ooh, here we go.
Hey guys, no, of course they're not going to do anything to help anyone who wants to detransition. You're expected to just, you know, suck it up and enjoy your newly mutilated body that they coerced you into getting. Just like with these shots, you know, just shut up and inject this poison in your body, even though it's proven to cause death and, you know, tons of adverse reactions. And if you do survive at all, and complain, They'll just make your life as miserable as possible.
Yep.
Hey, Shannon. Easy. Miles from New Smyrna Beach. Hey, a good friend of mine, he's Dominican Republican, and he's of the darker variety. And we were looking for him on inmate search on Seminole County Sheriff's website. And by God, he's there, but he's listed as white. We start looking at all the other Spanish surnames. They're all white. People with Indian surnames, they're white. People with Asian surnames, they're all listed as white. I don't get it. What's going on? B2.
Interesting.
I think it's just one laziness that they probably go in there and just click whatever the first thing on the top of it happens to be that. And there is probably some mandate to skew some numbers around.
Yeah.
Shannon, in reference to all these insurance companies paying for or not paying for transitioning and detransitioning, I really don't care. What I care about is how much more it's going to cost me out of my pocket for all the claims that are going to be processed. And moreover, what I do care about is who's paying for my penis pump.
I want to see if I can get my insurance to pay for that.
That woman that called 911 because the girl had a tampon in for too long, I guarantee she's the daughter of the same lady who called 911 when her cheeseburger wasn't right.
Oh my God. Those kids, those protesting college age children, they are the ones that didn't even get time out as a punishment. They were reasoned with, and everybody got a trophy. God help this country.
Yeah. If my kid was among those kids, I think I would have, I'd have a problem with it.
What's up, boys? Calling Atlanta. Happy Friday to y'all. Yeah, that really sucks about that girl's vagina and that tampon being in there for like almost 24 hours. I mean, I don't know what she was thinking going to a protest like that. Meanwhile, us white men are out here doing electrical work, plumbing work, framing houses. Oh man, life is good. Beedoo beedoo.
It is Good Friday.
I remember the good old days when protesters were acting like fools. We would just drag them off by their nostrils. That was fun.
Can't do that anymore. Not like the good old days.
You can't even fire water cannons at them or throw tear gas or...
Some people just need a blanket party. Beedoo beedoo.
I don't know, man. I'm a firm believer that, you know, you got to do the hard work to lose weight. And I believe that people who are trashy, lazy, crappy people deserve to be fat. You should see them coming. We should know what they are from a distance. Fat loser. So, you know, you can't take shortcuts and take a medicine. And I hope it does them terrible harm for taking such shortcuts. Wow. Go work out, you lazy...
Jeez.
Todd Natona, you seem stunned that Whoopi Goldberg weighed 300 pounds at one point. I've assumed for a very long time that she weighed much, much more. Except for the, you know, cranial cavity. That thing's like a bean rattling around in a can.
I've only seen one really bad. She's wearing white, which if you're that big, you should never wear white. And she's outside on the street, you know, like going into a crosswalk or getting into a car or something. And that was like a really not a flattering picture.
Yeah, but if that's the case, I don't remember ever seeing pictures of Whoopi's chair having the caster wheels added onto it.
Like Lizzo?
But they put it on Lizzo. So what does that say?
Lizzo's got to be knocking on four.
Why is the trend nowadays with younger people, especially the woke left, that everyone wants to act like they're oppressed? It's like they get joy out of thinking they're oppressed and they got it bad when they don't have it bad at all. I just really don't understand it. No one was forcing them to be at that college and protesting something that they don't even understand.
Yeah, I went to that sit-in, man. It was awful, man. I went the whole time with no Jack Daniels, no cigarettes. No, nothing, man.
Henderson's Insurance. Oh, yes. It's a very small copay.
Yeah, because it fits our agenda. Yeah, that's right. We'll bend over and take your liberal member. As just long as you wear rare, you know. Air, take it off. That's right. Henderson. Air, destroying the youth of America. Air, one life at a time.
Shando.
Wait, where was that? Okay, I'm good now. All right.
Shando, if that was my property, he'd be either walking out or crawling out. That's enough is enough, but these people think they're just going to take over your property, your yards. It's not happening. We've got to stand up, fight these people. That's all there is to it.
Yeah,
and speak up against these woke liberals. This is all getting out of hand. We got to change our vocabulary for these people. No, it's, I'm done with it.
Yeah, she got arrested for it, so.
Yeah.
Shando, if that was my property.
Every Shannon, when my brother was every president, I pilfered a couple of things off of Air Force One. Of course, it wasn't as fancy back then. I took some bottles of booze off there. Never got in trouble for that. But when I took a stewardess off of there, they didn't like that. They made me give that back.
Okay, class, smile for your picture. Boop, boop, boop. Okay, take two. Get the waterheads out.
Oh.
Hey, you think if the original people who wrote that part of the Bible heard about what they're doing in the Philippines, you think they'd be like, whoa, what? You're doing what? No, 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 you weren't supposed to copy it. No, it's just a story. Jesus Christ, I can't believe you're doing that.
Man, this thing with the high school photos, with them kicking the wheelchair people out, that just sickens me, man. I mean, when are these wheelchair people going to stop being pushed around? Beedy.
Hey-o! You know, it really, sadly, I guarantee you, it just, these photo companies that do these things, you know, if you had a kid in school and you get the package and they give you all, I mean, our kids were offered to whiten their teeth.
Yeah, airbrush out their rear acne and stuff like that.
Yeah, all of these things. But they never really offered anything that the parents would really want. So I think this just came out of greed. I guarantee you there's an upcharge.
Oh, I'm sure. But I'm sure a lot of it was. But there's a lot of parents that want that Photoshop picture of those kids, too. If they're going to pay the $250 package for the photos, they want the best photo they're going to get.
Man, this...
I have a solution for that Costco chicken problem. Put it in a paper sack. That way the grease starts dissolving the bag, and they have a very limited time to get the hell out of Costco before it falls through the bottom.
I see you making me eat it right there. If you want to give me one of these rotisserie chicken, we can't afford anything anymore. You've got to eat it right here.
It's a long stall. It's got
a bunch of paper towels.
It's like a trough with some paper towels and bones inside of it.
What's up, guys? Ray here. Well, you guys make me hungry all the time, man, listening to you. I just got two of those birds from Costco's the other day. They were pretty big, and they are delicious, man. I love them. They're way better than the ones from Publix and way cheaper. We chopped them up and made sandwiches out of them. They were rocking, brother. Love your show. Beetle, beetle. Ray out.
Don't you think other grocery stores, because, you know, they do it, they stick it in like this weird bag that's half kind of cardboardish bag. It's got a window in it, and they roll at the top, and they sit there.
And it's falling apart by the time you get home normally.
Yeah, and it's just such a sad little squab of an animal, you know? Wait, they just moved on me.
That restaurant sounds about like these cemeteries. Oh, we got to bury Grandpa under that big oak tree. Well... that's going to be another $2,000, $3,000 to be underneath that big shade tree, you know. Anyway, saying goes, they always screw you in the drive-thru. Beedoo-beedoo.
Y'all haven't seen the alternate ending to Shawshank when Andy Dufresne gets outside the prison in that canal and that gator eats him?
Y arriba las chivas, Chenin.
say something about Chevis?
I guess it's a good thing Bubba's dad didn't have one of those blow dryers, be-doo, be-doo.
That last story about the motorcycle dryer gives new meaning to the word blowhole.
Yes, it does.
Anyone else find it disturbing that manufacturers have to put warning labels on their products saying do not insert in your anus? Maybe it's just me. Be-do-be-do.
You know, can you imagine 50, 60, 70 years ago, manufacturers, you know, having to warn?
Anyway, you think the guys with a glass of whiskey and a cigarette were all at there, were like, hey, we should probably put on here not to insert in your anus.
Yeah, what if some kid gets this and shoves it in their anus? No one's going to do that. You're out of your mind.
Ton to tona. Every time I wash my bike, I use Honda Bright, which is the same thing as S100. It's cheaper. You can buy it at any Honda dealership. And it doesn't strip your wax, leaves it perfectly clean. But I use my yard blower to blow all the water off before I towel dry it. You don't have to spend all your money on all that crap, man.
Yeah, I
get use smart. A, don't work so hard.
I use my leaf blower now. But I used to have that cool little thing. It was just badass. It just shot air so hard through there.
Your Honor, my client proclaims his innocence. He said, when I asked, did you put the blower up your partner's rectum? He said, rectum? I hardly knew him.
All right.
Laziness wouldn't explain all of them being labeled white. It's to make the stats not look as bleak as they are. That's the only thing I can figure for why it's all, you know, giving more crimes to white people than they deserve.
I mean, if you're for the Dominican Republic, you're probably a dark-skinned person, right?
Yeah.
Excellent metal band name. Anal Inflation.
Come on, EZ. Clicking white on everybody that gets arrested is not laziness. It's part of the narrative, man. I've seen news stories where they clearly show a light-skinned black man and describe them as a dark-skinned white person.
You also underestimate people's laziness, though.
Well, Shannon, you act like you've seen pictures of Whoopi that are flattering. Come on. I mean, dude, she's always been horrendous. Skinnier.
Hey, Shannon, this is Raymond. I'm inside Amazon working. I know it's really loud, so I'm going to find a spot so I can tell you some real good news. Hopefully you guys are doing great. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Beedle, beedle. Much love to you.
Well, that...
Keep smiling.
Did Raymond just send us an open mic to tell us that he's going to do one later in a more quiet
That
area?
Was a pre-open mic, okay. Open mic. He's just kind of setting it up. It's coming as soon as he finds a quiet place.
Hey, I can explain that guy's question about why everybody acts like they're oppressed. Because if you claim that you're a victim, then you can pretty much justify doing whatever the hell you want. And you always have that as your defense.
It's a good thing that protest didn't last 48 hours. It might look like a mopped floor in a slaughterhouse.
Jesus.
My motto is start punching them in the mouth if they want to act like idiots.
It's a good motto.
What's going on, Fanny? You're talking about twatters and squatters today, huh?
Am I?
Hey guys, happy Friday. Hope you have a good Easter weekend. And if you go to church on Sunday, I got a joke you could tell everybody in church. Here it goes. What did Jesus say to his disciples during the Last Supper? He said, if you guys want to get in the picture, you got to get on this side of the table.
Yeah, speaking of wheelchair people getting pushed around all the time, very clever, by the way. You know, the disabled group is the one group that has the right to squawk about equality more than anybody. All these other hooray for me, the hell with you groups can go suck it. But I got a lot more respect for those who are differently abled, shall we say. Beedoo.
Amen.
I've seen a lot of stupid warnings, but I have yet to see the do not insert into anus tag.
I bet we can find something that says.
Oh, yeah.
Rectum, damn near, well, hell, it did kill him.
You were discussing what companies have to put on their directions to
tell people what to do and not to do. You've probably seen this meme, but years ago, a new car manual explained to you how to adjust the valves. Nowadays, the car manual has a disclaimer warning you not to drink the contents of the battery. Y'all have a good weekend. See ya.
It does say that on the battery, I think. But who could resist? It's so delicious, the acid. So
frozen good. Pizza says, please remove pizza from plastic before putting it in the oven. So
that's true. I wonder how many complaints they get before. Or you just do that to get ahead of the game. You know some idiot's going to put it in there?
Sometimes, well, it's a mix, I think.
You put it in with a cardboard or not?
No.
Yeah.
Take it off the cardboard.
I'm with you.
Anal inflation sucks. Pantera rules.
So you can actually get, oddly enough, my coworker came to work today with a roll of warning, only use for rectum stickers. Got them off Amazon, I guess.
Only use for rectum? Those are the remarks we have for this hour. We do it again in the final hour of the program. Get the app, hit the little button at the bottom, and you're off to the races. It's powered by Morris Family Farms and more organic meats. What are we doing next? How dark are we getting?
It's Friday, so we're having a little more fun with it. And we're going to talk. We talked yesterday about how the fact there might be beaver anal secretions in your ice cream.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some other things that might be in your food that the government says is A-okay.
Is beaver rectum juice not
Oh, it's allowed.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
What, just certain amounts of it?
It's just not used as much, but it was allowed. It's never been not allowed.
All right, that's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Hold on.
Hold on.
Okay.
Now we go. Hang on. Oddly enough, last night, if you wanted to attend the gala at Radio City Music Hall with Clinton and Obama and Biden and Colbert, you would need to bring valid photo ID with you. Sounds racist.
Yeah. What about all those people that didn't have a valid photo ID?
They couldn't get in. They were denied.
Bet you they could have. They had $250,000.
I don't know if you had $250,000 but no valid ID. Could you get in then? They probably wink, nudge. How much money you got? $250,000? All right. That seems laughable. You don't need it to vote. you don't need it to vote. You got to have it to see the president. Nice. There was a guy impersonating a firefighter. According to Morganton, North Carolina Police Department, firefighters were called to a home midnight Wednesday on Moorhead Street. When the firefighters got there, a neighbor was on the scene dressed as a New York fire department with the FDNY gear on, going at the fire with a garden hose. The Morganton firefighters began their job to put out the fire, but the neighbor refused to leave or allow them to begin their work. To the point where they had to arrest the guy.
I got this.
Yeah. You guys go on back to the house and get supper ready. I got this. After multiple commands, they had to arrest the guy. Christopher Victor Miglino, 37, of Morganton. He was charged with resist, delay, and obstruction of a police officer, a public officer, impersonating a firefighter or medical personnel, and a city ordinance violation for disobeying a fire personnel. He was given no bond since he was currently out on pretrial release for some other thing. I mean, you can't get in firefighters' way. I mean, I appreciate them working on the fire till they got there.
Yeah.
Roll your hose up and go back home. At that point, the firefighters would be thankful for you. But no. I see Lou Gossett Jr. died.
I did, yep.
I had a roommate. I'm surprised. I haven't seen this guy in, God, I don't know how long, 25 years. But he he had a girlfriend. He was a big shot securities guy. And he had a girlfriend in California. She'd go back and forth to California. And he, she was in the movie industry. He lived in Dallas. And one weekend she was supposed to come home. She didn't come home. And then like a couple of weeks later, he's all drunk. He goes, God dang, Shondo. He's called me Shondo. He's a country guy. I don't think, I forget her name. She ain't coming back. Unless, I forget what movie she was working on, but apparently she hooked up with Lou Gossett Jr. And so, and he goes, man, even if she, if you know, he was a lot older than her, and he was worried that even if she, things didn't work out with Lou, he could never get back together with her because he knew that Lou had a huge phallus. He's like, oh, it'd be Lou. And then, oh, Terry couldn't get in there. His name was Terry Perry. He said, I'm Terry Perry. I fought like a tiger. What a character. Yeah, 87 years old. I forgot that he was in Roots. That goes way back. Officer and a Gentleman. What else did he do? Oh, we'll talk to Movie Man Mike.
Movie Man Mike. Salivating over it.
He probably has a whole memorial piece put together with music. All right, let's get dark.
Yes, shall we? Let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Natural flavorings.
Natural flavors.
Every time you see that on a any type of ingredient on your ingredient list, there's a good chance it could be something weird.
I saw an article today that I don't know what it was related to, in a shortage of something or other, but how many juices, like you different, like a mango, this, whatever, look on the back and look how high the percentage is of apple juice.
Yeah, it's because in other juices, all of it, yeah. Very rarely does it not have apple juice because it's kind of a good flavor base.
Must be plentiful and cheap.
But it is. I mean, how many, all those apple orchards up there and all that? Yeah. Surprisingly, you know, we've got beaver anal secretions and, you know, anchovies are in a lot more food than people think. Like a lot.
I love anchovies.
I do too, but
I will eat it. I'll just open a can. Well, not just, if I'm eating something else, I'm not just eating by themselves. I'll just eat it along with other stuff. They're great.
Yeah. But they're an added natural salt to a lot of things. Yeah. So that gets added as a natural ingredient, flavor.
If you like in a Caesar salad, you don't taste the anchovy fishiness of it per se. You know, it's usually kind of just a salty flavor unless you, I like to put a couple few extra in mine.
Which is hilarious because my wife hates seafood with a passion, but she loves Caesar salad, and she just like ignore it. I'm like, you do know what you're eating, right?
You should have told her.
No, I told her. She's just like, don't just let me be blissfully ignorant about it. But you like a nice cold glass of chocolate milk?
I do. It's one of my favorite things as a kid. It certainly was.
Well, if you've enjoyed a nice tall glass of chocolate milk, or maybe some ice cream, some puddings and yogurts, there's a good chance that you've enjoyed some seaweed in there as well.
Seaweed? Mm-hmm. In chocolate stuff?
Yeah, carrageenan. It's a powder made from red seaweed. It helps other ingredients bind without adding calories or fat content, which is a big plus because, you know, you're already a lot of fat with a chocolate milk in the first place. The total fats become increasingly scrutinized by customers, so, you know, if you can add something to it
without adding fat.
A plant-based binder makes sense for another label-friendly reason, though. In theory, seaweed is organic.
Yeah.
Extracted from a variety commonly called Irish moss. Has been used in some cultures' cuisines for centuries, making its transition to an ingredient emulsifier as seem pretty natural. That was kind of until recently, though.
What?
Well, the food science studies have shown that carrageenan is highly inflammatory and possibly harmful to the digestive tract.
Oh.
It's been loosely, though not concretely, tied to conditions ranging from irritable bowel syndrome and ulcerative colitis and rheumatoid arthritis and even colon cancer.
Oh, we have boxes and boxes of sheets of seaweed in our house. We just pull out a little box, you unwrap it, and Kimmel eats stuff, put it in the seaweed, roll it up like a little seaweed taco.
Oh, it's delicious. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's good.
The U.S. The Food and Drug Administration has balked at removing carrageenan from the roster of ingredients generally recognized as safe, or an industry acronym called GRAS, generally recognized as safe. It even ignored a recommendation from the National Organic Standards Board to strip it of its organic status. However, it's becoming more recognized that it should not be considered organic, and a designation downgrade probably will be here. If not now, it's maybe a little bit older piece, but...
I can't eat seaweed anymore?
Well, you just can't have this specific blend of it that's used as emulsifier.
Oh, okay.
In your chocolate milk.
So when I open up, when I squirt some Hershey's in the bottom of my glass...
Oh, that's
and I fill
different.
It,
okay. This is more like
pre-made,
already...
Okay.
Yeah, out of the jug chocolate milk you're getting. Your toothpaste, probably got a good chance. It's got rocks in it as well.
Rocks?
Mm-hmm. Yep, mini toothpaste. A brittle white rock called gypsum is a key ingredient.
Oh, it scrubs the teeth, right? Yeah.
It's also an additive in some canned vegetables and ice creams, mainly because it's just a good emulsifier. Again, these are a lot of things that you don't put in a lot of amounts, but it does basically kind of make ice cream concrete out of it.
Yeah.
Gypsum is actually exceptionally versatile. Is it a safe to ingest sulfate mineral? Gypsum is not only the primary ingredient in many toothpaste brands, but also a source of added calcium in products with labels with such claims.
Gypsum.
Yes.
Isn't that like sheetrock, too?
Kind of, yeah. It also has a settling effect on liquids, leading to use in conditioning water, used for beer, brewing beer, and even settle clay and dirt particles in ponds without harming the aquatic life. In your apartment building, gypsum is a key ingredient in sheetrock and drywall. In farming, gypsum, sometimes called land plaster, improves soil's workability and receptivity to water and also counteracts the corrosive effects of alkalinity. Farmers growing corn, cotton, alfalfa, and wheat rely heavily upon gypsum. Finally, gypsum once played a key role in the entertainment industry. Before the use of CGI film, film and television producers would drop showers of gypsum in front of a camera to simulate snow when they weren't using it.
Oh, is that what that is?
Well, some of them were using asbestos.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Well, so you may pour yourself a tall glass of some chocolate milk with some seaweed in it, but also you might be enjoying some sheep's wool grease in your cereal as well.
What?
Yep. Many kinds of cereal have a form of vitamin D derived from sheep's wool grease. Humans call it lanolin.
Ah.
For one, lanolin makes the cereal non-vegetarian. And should you enjoy it with non-dairy milk, also non-vegan. Lanolin is a substance that sheep use to wick water from their wool, one of the many reasons for it to be an ideal insulator. Among the cereals that contain lanolin are Nestle's Milo brand and certain Kellogg Special K varieties. Several other vitamin D fortified food products also have lanolin, including baby formula, margarine, and certain milks and yogurts. It is perfectly safe. In fact, it's a popular ingredient in the old nipple soothing cream for breastfeeding mothers.
Oh, yeah. Nipple soothing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you put it on, like, if you have a really nice pair of gloves, like driving gloves, don't you use lanolin to keep them? What kind of? Oh, it's linseed oil for your baseball mitt, your baseball glove.
In foods, though, the vegan, non-vegan issue has made some waves because lanolin is often hidden as a sub-ingredient. Since vitamin D can be derived from either plants or animals, the packaging of most products does not make its source readily obvious to consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be enjoying some of that sheep wool grease. Also, odds are you've eaten a lot of sawdust.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So much of it is kind of under the radar. Content of many food dates back to 2012 when agents of the U.S. FDA basically paid a surprise visit to a cheese factory in rural Pennsylvania. They found that Castle Cheese Inc. was literally cutting the cheese instead of producing 100% real Parmesan. The company was adding significant amounts of cheap additives such as wood pulp. The result was degraded cheese products available at some of America's largest grocery store chains. Castle Cheese president Michelle Mader would be sentenced in federal court to 3 years probation, a $5,000 fine, and 200 hours of community service.
For putting sawdust in the cheese?
Yes.
I agree.
For record, that's approximately 200 hours more than any member of Purdue's farmer Sackler family received for starting an opioid crisis. So,
wow.
In any event, wood pulp, commonly called cellulose, is a safe common additive in plenty of foods, from tomato sauces and salad dressings to packaged cookies and breakfast cereals.
Mm.
While it's not okay that certain grated cheese brands are as much as 10% sawdust cellulose, is a fiber easily broken down by our bodies. So 10% of your cheese is more than likely a sawdust variant.
Yeah.
Did you know that, you know, we've talked about before that there's always parts per particle of, you know, rat feces and, you know, bugs, things like that. There's also the chance that you're...
There's an acceptable amount. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's also a chance that you have maggots in your mushrooms, too.
Oh.
Per official FDA policy, if there are 20 or more maggots of any size per 100 grams of drained mushrooms, or 5 or more maggots per 2 millimeters or longer per 100 grams, the FDA will take swift and decisive action. Otherwise, pretty much...
You're good.
Enjoy it. Yep.
I will not, you know, I hate to see a little video on my feed somewhere, and it's like, hey, here's a piece of candy. And they break it open, and then they put it under a microscope, and you're like, okay, show me the bugs.
Yep,
and they zoom in on anything, you're going to find some things crawling around
on
it.
Here come the bugs. Yeah. A 2009 New York Times piece titled The Maggots in Your Mushrooms discusses the wide swath of disgusting pieces of people, pieces of things, people of everything in the U.S. food supply contains, completely rubber-stamped by the government. The FDA permits a certain percentage of natural contaminants, which includes bugs, mold, rodent hair, droppings, or, of course, maggots as well.
Ugh.
It's all listed in the FDA's handy-dandy Food Defect Levels Handbook.
Food Defect Levels?
Mm-hmm. The levels are natural or unavoidable defects in food that present to no health hazards for humans. It's mm-hmm. a long title. Unfortunately, one less than reassuring category is foreign matter, which includes sticks, stones, burlap bagging, and even cigarette butts.
Cigarette butts? Okay.
Also, for another example, tomato paste and pizza sauce are allowed to have 30 or more fly eggs per 100 grams or 15 or more fly eggs and one or more maggot per 100 grams. Like, you can have the eggs, but if you get a maggot, you gotta cut it down a little bit.
I don't even know if I want to hear this.
How about some brominated vegetable oil? Or
brominated, that's bad for you.
BVO, which contains bromine, which is found in toxic flame retardants. And chances it's also in a lot of things in your fridge. BVO acts as a binding agent in liquids, keeping artificial flavors from separating from the rest of the liquid and settling to the bottom of the container. So, bromine is both bad for fires and our bodies. It can irritate skin and the lines of the mouth, nose, and digestive tract. Longer-term exposure can cause neurological symptoms such as headaches, memory loss, or even impaired balance or coordination. They may be checking our president for his bromine levels. Yeah. While the worst of these effects have been linked to chronic use of bromide salts as sleep medications, checking our president for these things, there have been instances of people experiencing memory loss to skin, lost skin rashes and nerve problems after guzzling excessive amounts, about more than 2 liters a day of soda containing BVO.
Mm.
And though there are a few people, more than you would expect though, they're likely to drink such voluminous quantities of soda, bromine seems to be built up in the body as well, potentially leading to a cumulative damaging effect.
BVO.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from,
Now, BVO has been banned as a food additive in many countries, but not in the USA.
Oh, no?
No.
Food is different. Like, you get, like, you know, products that are made here in the United States that are also sold in the UK or somewhere like that, they are completely different in that country than they are here because they don't allow 90% of the crap we put in our food here.
Yeah, it's try, like, getting Mountain Dew in a different country. It's almost a completely different drink.
Really?
Because we have so many dye C, red 85, things that aren't allowed in other countries that we put in ours, so that it's almost like a different drink.
Does it look the same?
It's got almost the same color, kind of greenish color to it, but it is different flavor-wise. Also, you can have yourself a nice big old chunk of silly putty in your food as well.
Silly putty?
Yeah. Dimethyl polysilicin, silolaxin, also known as PDMS. It's a form of silicone used in many fast foods as an anti-foaming agent. It's also a key ingredient in Silly Putty.
Mm.
The stretchy, ooey-gooey children's toy that you always could just put on a cartoon.
On a comic. That's the only thing it was good for, right?
Yeah.
And then he did that too long, and it got so dark you couldn't see the images anymore.
You got Mary Worth's face all over your Silly Putty so often. A PDMS can also be found in caulks, adhesives, aquarium sealants, polishes, cosmetics, and silicone-based lubricants. The US FDA approved PDMS use in 1998. It soon made its way into popular fast food items like Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches, McDonald's chicken nuggets, KFC mashed potatoes and biscuits, the Taco Bell cinnamon twists, and Five Guys french fries.
Really?
Likely the additive flies on the radar because there's a lot of reasons other than not to ingest the aforementioned items. But in fast food, it really doesn't matter. So you can get your fill of Silly Putty goodness in several other products. It can also be found in mini vinegars, chewing gums, and chocolates. It can also be added to cooking oils to prevent them from bubbling up when frozen ingredients are added.
Huh. That's messed up.
You can also enjoy some plastic elasticizer in your bread.
Elasticizer.
Yeah,
oh.
Like a little stretchier. Azodicarbonide, carbamide, or ADA makes the many cameos in such carbohydrates like breads, bagels, tortillas, hamburgers, hot dog, pizza bun, pizzas, and pastries. This ADA is used as a flour bleaching and oxidizing agent in dough. This whitens the products and lay, and also improves overall baking and performance. It's also found in shoes and yoga mats.
That's right, yoga mats.
Several consumers have called for the ADA's banishment, and in 2014, the sandwich chain Subway announced it was removing the chemical from its food. Considering its refusal to cease operations in Russia, though, there, you know, a lot of people kind of laughed at the fact that they were going to take that out of there. In the event, though, ADA is approved for food use in the USA and Canada. However, Australia and several other EU countries have banned ADA in their food. The World Health Organization cites that the epidemiological studies in humans have produced abundant evidence that ADA can actually induce asthma and other respiratory systems and symptoms and skin sensation in people working with the chemical. So that means that people that are making your weird fast food bread patties and things like that are, propylene glycol or antifreeze.
Yes. It'll kill you if you drink it straight up.
Well,
a little bit of it won't hurt, apparently.
It has a significantly lower freezing point than water. Adding to a car's cooling system allows it to be pumped around the engine, passing through warm parts and absorbing the heat. Then transfer the heat to other parts of the engine. Oddly, propylene glycol can also be found in a variety of foods, where it's used to maintain just the right moisture levels via its absorbent properties. Many foods, especially confectionaries, have challenge with that of moisture accumulation. This includes cake mixes, frosting, certain ice creams, flavored iced tea mixes, and artificial sweeteners. So ingesting small amounts of propylene glycol is considered safe, but the organic chemical compound made headlines back in 2014 when Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey was pulled off the shelves in three Scandinavian countries for containing too much of it.
But not here.
No.
That's all right.
The Center for Disease Control here insists that it would be virtually impossible to ingest toxic amounts of propylene glycol via food products, but it could cause skin irritation and itchiness and redness. Acute exposure could even lead to cardiovascular or neurotoxicological issues. And finally, sushi.
Don't do it.
Yeah, well,
what do they got? It's a fish. It came out of the water. You skinned it, you cut it up, you put it on some rice.
Yeah, but when you're getting that tuna, there might be a good chance you're not getting tuna.
What?
We already know about most of when you see spicy crab, it always spelled with a K. That's
it's whitefish that's been reformed.
It's a starchy, finely pulverized whitefish concoction mislabeled fish in the supply chain. It's been kind of one of the most common food frauds for decades, even though now they kind of had to add with a special K on it. Sometimes, though, tuna actually isn't tuna, but that sometimes is actually about 94% of the time. According to food journalist Larry Olmsted's 2016 book, Real Food, Fake Food, consumers ordering white tuna get a completely different animal. No kind of tuna at all, 94% of the time. Per Olmsted, the fish often substituted for tuna is escalar, a bottom feeder commonly called the Ex-lax fish for its mouth-watering ability to cause gut discomfort and the old soft stool. In fact, escalar is so troublesome it has been banned in many countries, most notably Japan, because they have
diarrhea problem over there.
They also have an image to kind of protect when it comes to sushi.
Remember people said Subway's tuna fish wasn't real tuna?
Mm-hmm.
Was this what it was?
Kind of. The U.S. actually disallowed it in the early 1990s before unbanning it in 1998. The issue is actually incredibly widespread. One mid-2010 study said that about 39% of the restaurants surveyed in New York actually served escalar instead of white tuna.
Wow.
This included every single sushi restaurant that the researchers had visited. So you know, enjoy your weekend food. Go local. Go to your local butcher. He doesn't have weird sawdust.
Yeah, steak over there is, there's nothing. In the sausage, it's sausage, not, filler and such nonsense. When we return, I don't believe this headline, but apparently fans are flocking to bars that only show women's sports. Flocking.
Yeah.
They do have some very inventive names, these women's sports bars. We'll get to it. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. So, I stumbled on a video. Maybe it was, I didn't go far down a rabbit hole, but I had to do like, I guess you're 20 somethings, mid to maybe 30 year old, male and female. They're talking about what are they into? Like, I'm into this, I'm into that. Anime. These kids, I mean, I say kids, 25, 26, 27, 28 years old, into anime. I understand anime. It's a Japanese style of cartoon, right? Drawing.
Or, it is, yeah.
When you're into anime, what do you do? Do you draw anime? Do you
watch it?
Like, what? Speed Racer was anime.
Speed Racer was anime, but that, you know, that was older anime. Now,
it's newer anime now.
It's always, they produce it like crazy over there. And some of those shows, though, are in the hundreds and hundreds of episodes.
You'd watch an anime cartoon, like a series?
Yeah.
A 28-year-old kid.
There's one of them that's One Piece, I think it is. It's got like 200 episodes.
Wow. I'm just blown away by it. Where is it, on a Cartoon Network or something like that?
No, a lot of them are.
What is it about? I mean, what's so interesting about it that a 28-year-old male?
I mean, a lot of them are
cats too. Cats in anime.
A lot of anime is, there are some goofy stuff to it, but there are a lot of them that are very serious, that are basically like dramas or anything like. They're not all goofy like haha cartoons. They're a lot like comic books. I mean, really, that's what they are, because a lot of them came from mangas, which are the Japanese comic books, and then got turned into animes, which are the Japanese cartoons.
So I've gathered they're in English, right? I mean,
not always. A lot of them are subtitled.
I don't even know how a 28-year-old dude gets interested in anime. I don't know. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, I just found it weird. I didn't know much about anime. I didn't even know that Speed Racer was anime until I understood what anime was later in life.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like that.
It's weird. Believe it or not, I remember talking about this when one of these bars opened. Did we talk about it? I think we did. It was going to be a first female professional sports bar, and they say they got long lines. One bar in Minneapolis called A Bar of Their Own. Get it?
I get it. Yep.
NCAA women's basketball tournament wasn't there. It was they're blasting NCAA softball, women's professional hockey, women's Olympic qualifiers, women's swimming. Apparently, there is a boom in women's sports. This one at University of Iowa, showcasing only women's sports. They're having a marquee moment, and they say it's building quite a trend. And this is purely, and I'm not knocking this at all either. It's clearly a lesbian thing, right?
No, well, yeah, probably a lot of them are, but there are.
But it looks at the photo, people enjoying it. I would say pretty odds are that's dominant. I'm not knocking that either, but it's, you know.
I think there are a lot of men watching the women's college basketball tournament going on right now. But that's about when it ends. I don't think there are a lot of guys that are after that are going to be like, I'm ready for the WNBA season. And
I can't wait till women's softball rolls around. How are you fellas, huh? There's another one. This is a great. It's called the sports bra. Get it?
Nah, sports bra.
Hey-o! the first bar in the Midwest to focus solely on women's sports. Are you telling me that on Super Bowl they don't put on a game?
No, they have
NFL. Is it the playoffs?
They have women's sports. They're going to put on women's billiards instead.
So they'd rather watch Minnesota Professional Women's Hockey League than the Eagles Cowboys. First,
that's what they're going out for the bar for.
I don't know that I buy that.
Oh, I'm sure bar is empty on those days.
Are they to the point where they refuse? Like, we're such fans of women's sports, we don't even recognize men's sports in here.
I'm sure it depends on the bar. They've got to know they make money somewhere along the way. They said they're probably making money now because the women's college basketball tournament's pretty popular. But after that, it's going to be a decline from there.
They do let men in.
Well, they have to.
It's going to be a decline when?
Well, as soon as this tournament ends. It goes into, I mean, there might be some women's college softball play that want to watch that. Then it kind of goes into, there's not a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm here to watch the women's soccer national qualifiers.
Yeah, or the women's billiards tournament finals. One lady who goes to one of these bars a lot, she owns a construction company. She likes the sense of community.
He's got a great grip. Her handshake is strong.
She said, as a woman in a rare field, I think it's huge to be able to be in a space where you feel empowered and acknowledged and seen. The sports bra in Portland, Oregon, opened in 2022. Jenny, the founder, saved up her money, did a Kickstarter. It's a little bar, 40-seat bar. She did $1 million in her first year. Not bad for a bar.
Yeah, how's she doing now, though?
She claims she doesn't see a ceiling anytime soon. The WNBA, the National Women's Soccer League, collegiate sports all clocked record attendance last year for her. More than 92,000 people packed the Nebraska volleyball match in August to see record attendance for women's sporting events there. Wasserman College sees record numbers of crowds coming out for women's track. Could it be that the WNBA could fill half an arena?
No. It just doesn't. It's why it's never been profitable in its entire lifespan. It's been propped up by the NBA its entire run. I'm curious with the old sports bra up in Portland there, is it because it only shows women's sports, or is it because there's not many lesbian bars around? Because we've talked about that before. They're a dwindling number. Yeah. So do they do really well because it's not a, quote, lesbian bar, but it kind of stands in as a lesbian bar.
Absolutely, that's why.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you think of a male gay bar, you think of a dance place, right? More than likely. When you think of a lesbian bar, I don't think of that as a dance place. I think it is, you know, more of a sports bar.
Yeah.
Go on, ladies. Well, women's sports still only account for 15% of all sports coverage. And they're kind of, you know, there's a lot of sports that the lady that owns the sports bar, because there's a lot of these sports that people just haven't had exposure to because it's been really hard to be a casual women's sports fan. And I got to, you know, I'm not bragging about it, but most dudes don't want to go. I don't know if it's our heads are already filled with professional sports dominated by men. you know, players and names and stats, where they went to college, you know, how long their contract is, so on and so forth. Maybe they don't have the brain power to add women to that. But it's certainly not as athletic.
There's some sexism to it. Yeah, there is some point where we're just like, okay, it's not as fun of a game to watch. It's really not.
I agree. I hate to be sounding like a sexist pig. It's just, I mean, out of all of them, well, beach volleyball, because I'm heating the pig. Volleyball is interesting to watch women play. Anyway, this lady's getting calls from lesbians all over the country looking for advice. A lady getting ready to open one up in New York City, believe it or not. Althea Gibson, she was a professional golfer and a professional tennis player. She's opening up Althea's. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's claiming there's a rapid growth of women's sports. She's especially with this rapid growth in women's sports that we're seeing in attendance and viewership, it's more important now than ever to be able to provide the spaces for our community.
I mean, there is a bit of a rapid growth. I mean, there's more people that could name a female basketball player than there was before because you have people like Caitlin Clark from Iowa or Angel Reese from LSU. You have more people that know female soccer players because of that.
Female women's soccer is interesting to watch. I like soccer. I like watching it. I don't know that how long or how many, but you're right, with the decline in lesbian bars across the country, what was there only?
There was very few, but I think
less than 1,000 in the entire country.
What it's doing it for. It's able to open a lesbian bar, but not having to call it,
the lesbian bar,
clamshells or whatever. they can hide behind and say, oh, it's a sports bar.
Is there a lesbian bar called clamshells?
Would it surprise you?
Is there a lesbian bar here in town? I know it's not. I don't know. Maybe there is one in Fort Walton Beach.
There might be. I don't know. They're not as popular. You don't hear about as much because more of them you hear them as a gay bar. When you have places Pulse was a variety, but it was kind of more considered kind of a gay bar.
I think the city could handle a women's sports bar, not a massive one. But, you know, it's a big, there's a big gay community here.
Yeah, but we don't really have
we have some
women's sports team.
We have a women's soccer team. Yeah.
How's the numbers it's doing out there, though?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
I do know some ladies that bought a what do you call it? Suite at the stadium because of the women's team. And they also go to the other games as well. But, yeah, it's, you know. Do all Major League Soccer teams have a women's component, sister team?
Most of them do. They tried to do, like, with the WNBA tried to do that originally, and then you had, like, the Mystics, who I think were the Orlando team. Nobody went and saw them at all, so they sold it off.
Oh. Proof that robots are taking over. This is probably a good thing. There's a company out there called Ascape. Ascape. It's a commercially viable, fully automated AI masseuse robot.
I mean,
hold on for you.
Sounds good in theory.
It sounds great.
Until you get beaten to death by a robot in a back room.
You download the app for this company. You could book a 30-minute session. They have locations around right now just in New York. And you don't have to be a member. Here's what it looks like. You sit down, lay down on a table, you know, like you normally would. This one's a little high-tech. It has you look down, so it's got a TV screen down there. You can, you know, watch stuff. And there are the robots mounted to the ground, giant arms, you know, as you can imagine, like a big... The arm that might swing over for a light in an office or in a medical office.
Yeah, those look like the same robots that are on the line at the local Tesla factory, too.
Yeah. Well, they're similar to that. But they have little, soft, like a palm, the heel of your hand, the butt of your hand there.
Yeah, until it doesn't get changed out properly and it wears down and all of a sudden you're getting robot gears in your back.
You download the app and then you could book for $60 a 30-minute session. And they use two robotic arms that scan your body first, clothed in friction-free clothing provided by the company upon arrival in order to generate 1.1 million data points, 3D, to map your body out. From there, it can identify key anatomical points to guide the quote-unquote hands to perform targeted massage, which can be controlled. Oh, that's the touchscreen underneath you. You can either watch entertainment or just control the touchscreen. Oh. They say it feels very similar. I would give this a shot. The most uncomfortable thing about getting a massage is the masseuse.
Yeah, but can you still put a $100 bill in your shoe? And
that's another thing. The massage parlor people are very happy because this robot does not give handies.
Yet.
You could probably program it. They move it away. This feels very familiar to a human hand. This had to feel like something you already understand, but at the same time, we really wanted to empower its capabilities. It could be delivered through only through technology. It has two of the heated hands. They're heated and modeled in human hands. They move simultaneously and apply equal pressure, doing twice the work in half the time that a human could.
Does the robot try to make small talk with you, though?
So, what about this weather? How about them cowboys? They'll be available on demand. They say it's affordable, consistent, personalized, and once they're available to roll out the rest of their features. They say it's important that you can lean into this, and I feel instantly at home. But at the same time, we're also delivering on all the ways that technology could possibly enable. And I guess it if you're on the app and you've been to a bit of an initial scanning, it has the ability to store your information, and it'll know all about the crick in your neck. I guess when you Look, you have the chair, the massage chair, right?
Yeah. But you don't have to worry about the massage chair pushing too hard and squishing you against the table.
You're worried about AI taking over?
Or just malfunctioning.
Like it just realizes it's got someone there and it's, maybe ideologically not with the rest of the program. And you decide to break their neck.
Either that or you end up with a robot arm in your back door.
Knocking. Want to rub your back? they have AI robots apparently at Rockefeller Center, in Hudson Yards, and JFK Airport. They can even give you a manicure. Now I'm not going to put my hand in a robot machine for $10 to give me a manicure.
Oh, so you're okay with it rubbing your back? Yeah. To do a manicure on you?
Cut my finger off.
Again, your robot arm goes a little awry. Hydraulic fluid goes off a little bit, and it's punching a hole through your back.
Wow. It's state of the art. I guess, yeah. What if you did like to do some, I don't like small talk from a guy that gives me a massage. I like a little short German woman, with sausage fingers.
One that cracks her knuckles before she starts.
Yeah. And like 30 minutes into the massage, you feel some drips of sweat coming off her nose on your back because she's really into it.
She's kneading a loaf of bread.
I would do that. That's the most difficult part of a massage. I don't get massages all the time. My wife's barely big into them. She always likes to get me one, Don't forget your massage. I scheduled your massage.
I can't do it. No. I don't like people touch me.
It's a weird thing to get used to because I'll go to this place and I can get a older Asian dude one day. I get my favorite German lady, sweaty Betty. And then you get different people. I don't know.
Like you want at least to get the same one every time.
Yeah, you'd have the same trainer or you're the same therapist or the same doctor. You don't want to go in there and just get to run of the mill. It's very important. You could get from a limp-wristed, weak person to someone who, like Helga, sweaty Helga, who just get in there and work it. any updates on Diddy? Not that I really care.
He came out of hiding. He was out like going out with his kids. So I guess nothing yet they have on him.
Man, how do his kids feel at this point? Their homes were raided, and the next day, dad's taking us to dinner.
I'm sure.
He could get cuffed and stuffed at any minute. That's why he's got his head on a swivel while he's out.
I mean, the only thing that has come out of it is there is just a ton of guys that have come out of the woodwork talking about how they went to a party, and there was Diddy with like five dudes, and they were all in the room kissing each other. And it weirdly, like all of a sudden, now everybody has the guts to talk about things.
I wonder why that is.
I think they're hoping that they got him this time.
Suge Knight has warned that, and I guess Diddy's a rival of his, right? They're not, I don't know if it's East Coast, West Coast, whatever. He says Diddy's life is in danger. They're going to get you if they can. Who is they?
Who is they? Who is the person that got rid of Epstein?
Oh, is that them?
That's the question. Who's the they? We've always asked the question, who was the they for the Epstein?
On his little jailhouse podcast, what's it called?
Collect Call.
That's a great name. He started off by praying for Diddy's kids. And he said, I tell you what, Puffy, your life is in danger because you know the secrets. Who's involved in that little secret room you guys are participating in? Then he warned that they're going to get you if they can. I don't know. You've seen you see pictures with him. He's in the circle. I like it that people go that one guy posts a picture of Donald Trump and Puff Daddy somewhere, and they say, spread this around because Elon and his conservative buddies don't want you to see this. And someone will put up a picture of him and Barack.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's with everybody.
It's not like a famous celebrity wasn't always out there. And also, Diddy ran those Rock the Vote campaigns for Obama that whole time. So.
Yep. Yeah. Well, he warned him. He said, I'm going to give you some real advice. You got to make a decision. When you go to prison, you're going to be standing up, peeing, squatting, or sitting down, peeing. Take the first option. Stand to pee?
Who's the squatting guy?
Seems
like the uncomfortable choice between the three of them.
I think squatting is the same as sitting down.
Okay. I was just trying to think of a person trying to squat over a toilet.
That's his advice for Diddy if Diddy ends up in prison.
Be a standing up man.
You got to be standing up, pissing, squatting, sitting down, pissing. Take the first option. All right. He said, don't use his newest nickname, Brother Love. Is that what people are calling him now, Brother Love? He said, if you end up behind bars, do not do your time by Brother Love. Brother Love is not a good code name for prison. Oh. Mm-hmm. I guess. During a recent episode of his podcast, he alluded to where his long-standing beef started. He said it was his friend Big Jake was killed during a party in Atlanta. And he alluded to kicked off the decades of hostility between the two. I don't know any of this. I don't know any of them.
Don't know the rap beefs?
I don't. I'm willfully ignorant of any rap beefs, all rap beefs. Well, I guess, you know, if they had, you don't go in and with Homeland Security investigations and rip apart two mansions and take a bunch of evidence out, open safes. Are they allowed to open your safe? I guess so.
Yeah, if they got a search warrant. If they know, they had to have known those safes were in there, though, from my understanding. Like they had to specifically know that there are safes in those spots and they want the evidence in those.
Because they had to be listed in the warrants.
Yes.
Specifically, right? Do they have a safe cracker guy that comes in to crack the safes?
No, I think they just bash it with something.
Oh, damn.
I did. The other thing that Suge said, though, is I'm curious. He said, well, I hope they don't find your little secret room that you had.
What does that mean?
He's apparently got a secret room.
Uh-oh. Is that what they're looking for? Wait, let me read it. Oh, I'll tell you what, Puffy, your life's in danger because you know the secrets who's involved in that little secret room you guys are participating in.
Yeah, the little secret room.
I anything at this point, it's not gonna blow. A torture room down there or something like that?
Yeah.
Didn't they find the same thing with Epstein?
Find some sort of adrenochrome harvesting room down there. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised by anything.
All right. Movie Man Mike joins us when we return. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Joins us as he does every Friday. You can read his reviews, Mike Clark, at or in rather Newsmax magazine at Epic Times and TheFederalist.com. Mike, how are you, brother? What's going on?
Quite grand. And yourself, sir?
Doing well. Doing well. Feeling good. Nice, beautiful day here today. It's supposed to be a nice weekend.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It'll be great.
Gorgeous. Not a puff of wind at all. Beautiful sunshine, about 72. It's nice. Great. You probably saw anime and didn't even know it in Kill Bill 1, Kill Bill Volume 1, the whole backstory of Oranishi, played by Lucy Liu.
Oh, yeah.
Done in anime. And he's very violent.
Well, I know what anime. I watched Speed Racer when I was 12. That was anime.
Right. But it can get very adult, very graphic, sexual, you know, blood everywhere.
Oh, yeah, but it's got a certain pull to a certain age that I've realized, and it's just, I don't know, it's bizarre to me. It's hard to wrap my head around it.
Well, some of the movies are quite good, and they are geared towards adults. You mentioned Louis Gossett Jr., very sad at his passing, and he's got four more movies that are done in the can that are coming out throughout the year.
That he's a big part of?
A couple, yeah. One is called If, which is Imaginary Friend, stars Ryan Reynolds and some animated characters. So it's like a Who Framed Roger Rabbit, live action and animation. And he's got a big speaking role in that movie. And I saw this in 1969. He was smoking weed with the mamas and the papas, and they were invited to go over to somebody's house. I guess they got too stoned and didn't get there on time. It turned out to be Sharon Tate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he almost got killed.
Wow. That's a good piece of history.
But
My roommate lost a girlfriend to him.
Louis Gossett?
Yes.
Well, if you're going to lose, it might be, you know, somebody famous.
I told him, I said, you know, he's an Oscar winner, you know?
Rotten Tomatoes was wrong last week. I knew they would be. I saw this movie, Sleeping Dogs, with Russell Crowe, this police procedural thriller, and I gave it 3.5 out of 5, and the critics gave it 37. I'm like, I know I'm not wrong on this, and I wasn't. The audience came back this week 96%.
On what was the title? What?
Sleeping Dogs.
Oh, okay.
Russell Crowe, mystery crime thriller. So
where can we see that?
That's only in theaters.
No.
So sorry about that. You mentioned the TV series Mindhunter on the Monday show, I believe.
Yeah.
That thing is officially dead. David Fincher came out September of last year, and he said it's over. I think what they ought to do is David Fincher ought to just say, listen, if somebody else wants to pick this thing up, go for it.
Yeah. Write me a check, and I'll give it to you.
Yeah. And at least finish the series. I mean, season 2 ended with the Atlanta child murders. But there's so much more character arc with those two lead characters. One more season would be great. I mean, we've got 57 varieties of NCIS, for Christ's sake.
Right, and there are plenty of more serial killer stories to tell, you know? It's not like they ran out of material.
You'll never run out of material. And I love how they take real crimes and mix it with fictional investigators. That was a really good twist.
Yeah.
All right, I saw Chicken Nugget. I watched as much of it as I could, which was 4 episodes, and it just doesn't work for me. It just does not work. It's just too silly of a concept. And I don't think I'm the only one. It's been out 8 days now, and there's only 4 reviews from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes. 4.
Ugh, so nobody's watching it.
Nobody's watching it. They're all positive, but there's only 4 of them. And it's at 50% with audiences on 2 reviews. So this thing just fell flat. Nobody cared. New this week, a weirdly titled documentary called Steve! ! Martin! !
Oh, yeah. I saw him on CBS Sunday doing a little interview, you know, a little quaint little.
Yeah, he's plugging it all over the place. And it's split up into two halves, as the title indicates. Then and now. Both of them are a little over an hour and a half. That's 3 hours worth of Steve Martin documentary and about an hour too much. The first part is great. Starts his origins in California, how he barely made it as a stand-up. And then he was filling amphitheaters and soccer stadium. Hockey stadium or arenas. And then the second half is about his movie career. The guy has made 55 movies.
Wow,
since
really?
1980. That's staggering. Yeah, too many damn movies.
So what's the background of this? Is he involved in the documentary? Like he's putting it together to accurately. That's the feeling I got from this little interview.
That's not the impression
okay.
I got.
All right.
The guy who made it, and his name escapes me right now, has a lot of musical documentaries to his credit. He did them on Muddy Waters, Brian Wilson, Keith Richard, Johnny Cash, Hank Williams. So he's been involved in this micro genre for a long time. It's just too much. And they leave a lot of stuff out. Like the best Steve Martin movie ever was called The Spanish Prisoner. And it was a crime thriller, David Mamet crime thriller, completely serious, completely dramatic role. And he crushed it. They don't even mention that in this documentary. Nothing about his career as a banjo player.
Really? That blows me. He is like a world-class banjo player.
Yeah, and he's released 6 albums. All of them have gone to number 1 on the bluegrass charts. Every one.
They don't touch it?
They don't touch it. They don't mention it at all. And I'm like, forget it. You know, you lost me.
Yeah.
But the first half was great. It's called Then. Second half now, a waste of time. 3 out of 5 for me, only because of the first half. 90% with critics and no vote yet from audiences. It just started today.
Theaters?
No, this is on Apple. This is on Apple. The Truth versus Alex Jones. This is an HBO documentary, 90 minutes, all about the Sandy Hook trial. And, of course, the critics are at 100% because, you know, let's hate on Alex Jones.
Yeah.
The audience is almost as much, 82. It's put together well. I'll give the director that much credit. It is put together well. It's just very one-sided. And it doesn't cover what took place earlier this year with appellate courts and settlements that Jones offered that were much lower than what he was ordered to pay.
Right.
They don't include any of that. So It's if you are an Alex Jones fan, you're not going to like it. If you hate him, you're going to love it.
I might watch it. You know, Alex and I are buddies, kind of. We worked at the same radio station forever, and then worked in the same town when he was doing public access cable television, and we goofed around. He appeared on my show. I did stuff on his show. But, man, to see him explode the way he has is just impressive. He's a very brave broadcaster, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and he looks like he'd be a fun guy to hang out with.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
We
used to goof on him. One time he was trying to stir up his conspiracy buddies. He called my show. There was something going on in Austin about some springs, an area that they're trying to get the city to hold and that's whatever. And it was called Save Our Springs, and he said, I was out there, and I saw a bunch of vehicles that are painted UN white. And I'm like, Alex, what is UN white? And he goes, UN white. I'm like, is it different than other whites? And he got so pissed. And then we spent the next 30 minutes calling paint stores around the town to see if they had UN white in stock, but couldn't find it.
Yeah, him and the sponge sound a lot alike.
Yeah, kind of.
Another documentary, this started this week on Netflix. It's called Homicide New York. I like this a lot. It's 5 episodes, about an hour long each, and it goes into some infamous and not so well-known murder cases in Manhattan. And well-executed, this true crime thing shows no signs of slowing down. The appetite for it is up there, and people are loving it. I wish my mom was alive at this time, because that's all she would watch right now. That's all she read. That's all she cared about was true crime. So if you're into that kind of thing.
It's a hell of a genre right now. It's like one of the top five podcasts in the world is the true crime podcast.
Yeah. And again, these are all in Manhattan. Evidently, there's a upper or a eastern and a western Manhattan where the rivalry between these police departments is very intense. And they show them working together or not working together, as it were. But it's a real good, you know, nice, meaty, five-part documentary. 4 out of 5 for me. 80% with critics, 100% with audiences. And again, that's on Netflix, Homicide,
sweet,
New York. Another true crime-based drama. It's called Wicked Little Letters. And it's got Olivia Colman and Jesse Buckley, who are these British neighbors in the early 20th century. And one of them is receiving these poison pen letters that are as vulgar as a Richard Pryor concert.
Really?
I mean, you got a little artsy British art movie, you know, mostly women casts. And they're reading these letters with every profanity and nasty word you could possibly think of. And I'm like, I don't know who's going to want to watch this movie. It's certainly not the Blue Hair Brigade. They're going to, I mean, one woman opens a letter and dies of a heart attack just because of the content.
Is it sexual in nature? Or?
They're talking about sexual stuff. They're not, you know, there's no sex per se,
right,
in it, but
right.
They're talking about, I'm going to take this and I'm going to shove it up this.
Wow.
And your nasty little C word and all over the place.
This is a movie.
It's a movie. Again, it's called Wicked Little Letters, and it starts in theaters nationally. New York and LA today. Next week goes wide everywhere. So don't look for it in Atlanta or Orlando this weekend. But next weekend, that's when it's going to get there.
All right.
The Listener, this is a great concept. It's directed by Steve Buscemi. Okay, this is only his 4th feature film that he's directed. And, you know, he did 4 or 5 episodes of The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Including The Pine Barrens, which is one of our favorite titles. Now?
I think it's overrated as the best one ever. It's a good episode, but people are like, oh, Pine Barrens. I'm like, okay,
It's in my top 10.
Yeah, it's in my top 10.
But he's not in it. In fact, it only has one performer on screen the whole time.
Hmm.
Her name is Tessa Thompson. You might not know the name, but if you saw a picture of her, she's a biracial woman, and she works on a help hotline that she does from dusk till dawn. And a cadre of people with a bunch of problems call in, ranging from a soldier with PTSD, a junkie, a girl who's ready to commit suicide. And it just shows her talking to these people. She doodles while she does it. And the advice that she gives them is not canned or prescripted, like, you know, there, don't do it, you're going to regret it. She lets them talk and then just gently soothes them along the way. It was very well done. Although there's not a lot you can do in a movie with one person in a room talking on phone.
Right.
So it's a little staticky that way. But I liked it for what it was. Again, it's not, you know, exciting to look at, but it's great to listen to. And it offers a great view on the human condition. 4 out of 5 for me, 71% with critics. Nothing yet for audiences. And it's in theaters as well as Vudu and Apple. So you don't have to leave the house. It's a great little art movie that doesn't get preachy. And it tells you more about your fellow man in the process. In the Land of Saints and Sinners. This is a new Liam Neeson action movie.
In the Land of Saints and Sinners?
Yes.
All right.
This is like Liam Neeson's 95th movie. I mean, he seems to be cranking these bad boys out like every 3 months.
And he, I mean, the dude is old as balls. I mean, and he is
71.
He's doing action stuff.
Yeah, this one is not as action-y. He's really good with a shotgun and a rifle. And the premise of the movie is that he's getting near retirement. But there's these are vicious murders of three children, and he's determined to go out and find out who it is.
What? It's a set in modern day?
Yeah, it's modern day.
Okay.
And the critics loved it. I was surprised at 81%. I gave it 3 out of 5 because it's not having Liam Neeson, you know, run 100 yards chasing a guy who's 27,
right?
You know, and dodging bullets and all of that. It's more of a revenge kind of thriller. So, I mean, there is action. Don't get me wrong. There is action. It's just they don't have him doing stuff that's impossible to believe.
Okay, it's more realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's something that Clint Eastwood would have done 30 years ago.
All right.
So, again, I liked it. Again, it's called In the Land of Saints and Sinners, starring Liam Neeson, and it's in theaters starting today. One I did not see, and I have to say, I think I might be the only critic working who's done so for more than 3 decades, and that has never watched a Godzilla movie.
Really?
I've never seen one.
I don't know, but I've ever seen one from start to finish. They're just so goofy.
I guess I get it. It's kind of like anime for you. You're just figuring out what's the appeal in this. It's a giant mutant reptile. How many different stories can you come up with this? But this is like the 30th one that's been made since the early 60s. And this one's called Godzilla X King, as in Kong, the New Empire. So it's Godzilla and King Kong joining forces to kill a bunch of humans.
To kill humans?
Yeah. They're not fighting against each other.
So Godzilla originally came to kill humans, I think, and then Mothra came around, and then they paired him up with King Kong, and it's just very confusing for me.
Well, and they screened it late. They didn't screen it until Wednesday night for the press. And, I mean, even if they just screened it on Monday morning around the corner, I wouldn't have gone. None of my outlets have a clue about these movies, which is good. They don't want them. If you like it, that's fine. It's just one of the reviews of it said, if you want to see a whole bunch of special effects that doesn't have any kind of plot line, this is your movie.
All right.
So take that for what it's worth. Nothing for me. I didn't see it. 53% with critics, 92% so far with audiences. And that's mostly from Thursday night screenings last night.
Wow.
So there is definitely a market for this. They did Godzilla Minus One that came out late last year and actually won an Oscar for best visual effects.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So again, it's a never ending market.
How many Godzilla movies you say there are?
I know of at least 30. And again, I can proudly say I've never seen a single one of them. But I have seen 3 or 4 King Kong movies.
Yeah, me too. I've seen King Kong.
There was another ape movie. I can't remember what it was called. Charlie Theron with Joe something.
I know you're. It did involve a King Kong or some giant ape.
It was a giant ape. Something Joe. I can't remember what it was. But Charlize Theron was in it. That was good, but it wasn't really a King Kong movie. I knew this was going to happen last year. You prompted me to look into it, which I did. And it was called Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yeah.
And it was made for like $90,000 or something. And it just takes the whole Winnie the Pooh story and turns it into a slasher movie.
And they made like $6 million off of it.
Yeah, it had an ROI of like 9,000% or something. So they ponied up a couple of million. I think the budget on this one is 4. It's Winnie and the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
The Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't go into this kind of movie. I mentioned this last week. You can't go in and think this is going to be you know, Shakespeare or Oppenheimer, it's, or even, you know, Freddy Krueger for that matter. This is just a really stupid riff on a children's book with guys who are wearing Winnie the Pooh and Tigger 2 masks and just slicing and dicing people. It's not trying to be something it's not. And I respected it for that. I like something that's pure like that, like Beavis and Butthead. I didn't really care much for the humor, but I love the fact that it was so pure. The creator, Mike Judge, knew what he wanted to do, and he did it. He wasn't trying to conquer any new mountains. He just wanted to put a couple stoners in a room and see what they'd say.
Right.
So cutting and slashing all the way through it with Winnie the Pooh masks on. And it, for what it was good. 3 out of 5 for me. 52% with critics, 81% with audiences. And that's,
wow. That's shocking.
I don't think so. I don't think that's shocking at all. The audiences.
They love slashers.
They love slashers. And these movies are critic proof. Whether you love them or you hate them as a critic, they don't care. They don't care what you think.
Right.
They're going to go, period.
Hey,
and that's why a lot of these things aren't screened in advance.
Kim is in the car picking up Chubbs. He just had his balls taken. He's on his way home from the vet. She said, remind him about Saltburn. Did you give us a, did you say Saltburn? We thought Saltburn was a wreck. It's weird.
It's weird. Yes. I gave it 3 out of 5 because I love the way it was shot. It was immaculately photographed. But this dysfunctional family in England who picks up a guy who's kind of modeled after Tom Ripley.
Yes.
You know, the Matt Damon character.
Right, right.
Who is supposedly from a nothing background, and he insinuates himself into this rich family. And I don't want to give away the plot to people who haven't seen it, but it's very sick. It's a very sick and twisted movie, how he worms his way into this family. And it was directed by a woman named Emerald Fennell, who won the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for her first movie, which was called Promising Young Woman. It was a great revenge movie, a really good revenge movie about a woman who goes out and takes care of rapists. She sucks in and kills rapists.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. That one I think you would like. But this one, Saltburn, was just a little too off the chain.
Yeah.
Just a little too off the chain.
We're like, what the F just happened?
Right.
Many times.
Oh, yeah. Like at least a half a dozen times. You're like, how the hell did he do that?
Yeah.
You know? And Oscar, the Academy Awards, completely ignored it. Ignored it.
Why do you suppose?
Because it's a sick movie.
But dude, the guy that plays the guy that gets sucked in there, he's of note of some. What is that actor's name?
Barry Kehoe.
Barry Kehoe
is his name.
Okay.
He was in Dunkirk.
Okay, that's why.
Christopher Nolan movie.
Yes.
And he's been in a couple of other movies. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
And he plays this Tom Ridley character very well.
Yeah.
You just don't like him. You don't care for him, and you want him to fail, but he doesn't fail.
Yeah, it is wild. Anyway, go ahead. We'll wrap it up.
Yeah, real quick. The Passion of the Christ, our throwback title from 2004. The highest grossing R-rated movie of all time until Deadpool. The highest grossing R-rated movie of all time.
Until Deadpool?
Until Deadpool, yes.
Deadpool is the highest grossing movie of all time?
R-rated.
I love it. I think Deadpool, they're the brilliant. That character is absolutely brilliant. It's just hysterical.
Well, the critics hated it. It was presented in Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek. No English subtitles, very gruesome. The crucifixion of Jesus and Mel Gibson, just nobody believed it was going to make any money. He budgeted it on his own and made a king's ransom in the process.
Yeah.
5 out of 5 solid stars for me. No surprise here. Critics, 49. Audiences, 80.
So predictable.
And The sequel is coming out later this year.
All right, that's what I heard. Yeah, I can't wait to see a sequel.
Yeah.
All right.
Passion of the Christ, Resurrection.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
all right, brother. We're short on time, dude. But read Mike's reviews in Newsmax magazine at thefederalist.com, Epic Times. If you like some of his brilliant hot sauce, it's brand 25 peppers at AOL.com. I highly recommend it. Drop it an email and he'll ship it out to you. Brother, good to talk to you, man.
Thanks, bro. Happy Easter.
See you, buddy. You too. Happy Easter.
Thank you.
All right. When we return, we'll get to your remarks. And yet another teacher snagged up in the dang, just trying to make a couple of bucks from the OnlyFans. This woman has been working for the school district for eons. She's 50. And she's holding it together. Hang on. It's Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Jonathan Diller's memorial, the fallen NYPD officer in Long Island, stopped at the All-American for some burgers. And, of course, we know everything about it. The manager, Richard Vultiago, revealed Trump's sizable order. 18 double cheeseburgers, 10 hot dogs, 2 quarter pounders with cheese, 20 orders of fries, 10 orders of onion rings.
And then Trump sat down in front of him and ate every one of them.
They also requested a rather substantial ketchup and mustard on the side. They complied with the order. It only took 10 minutes, and while Trump, they say, they all claim that he dines and dashes, this was paid by a credit card and included a rather generous cash tip.
He said, make sure there's plenty of ketchup in there, though.
Yes. Then he got news from Trump. In addition, other customers there were paying for cops. They weren't letting any cops pay for anything the whole day. The community came together. Far Rockaway, Queens, burger favorite.
The best burgers.
That is awesome. You ever hear, that is against his fast food. I mean, it's fast food, but it's kind of a mom and pop, been there since the 50s, you know.
Still kind of fast food-ish.
Yeah. They say everybody, it's known, it's the place to be. It looks like that place I stop at in Dallas called Keller's, that drive-in. Anyway, you know everything about it right there. I love this you know, people that probably love Puff Daddy or loved or a huge fan, he goes wrong, there's raids, there's this, all this talk. And then people love to dig up any celebrity gone sour or bad. Then they go, aha, they find a picture of that celebrity with Donald Trump. And they go, aha, what about your guy? What do you say about that? Mm-hmm. What do you go, yeah, look at there. And there's pictures of Diddy with Clinton, Hillary, Barack, Michelle. I mean,
yeah, I don't care about those pictures. So if you can find me a picture of them both doing cocaine off a stripper's ass, yeah, then yeah, show me that picture.
Then you've got something. Yeah, that'll impress me. Until then, we better get to these remarks. We got quite a bit from the Florida Man radio app and powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. Your headquarters for archives galore in podcast form with new commercials. Hit the little button at the bottom that looks like a microphone, and we're off. Here we go.
So you can actually get, oddly enough, my coworker came to work today with a roll of warning, only use for rectum stickers. Oh,
I just Googled it, and there are a bunch of warning signs that say do not insert into mouth or rectum. Must be a recurring issue.
You'll see on your gas pumps, do not insert in rectum.
On a gas pump?
I have seen pictures of them. I don't know how many of them are true, but I've seen the pictures of it.
At what point did man start going, that looks like it fit my rectum?
Also, why they're with the gas? They're like,
Man, because it's curved like a, you know, like an erection? You sick freaks.
Just these stupid labels, because there's actually some idiot that actually did these things at one point.
There had to be.
If you want to see a great comedic act on that topic, watch Orny Adams.
Orny?
Hey, bro. I used to know the lead singer for Anal Inflation. He was a pretty good dude. His wife was kind of weird, but I really liked him. Beat him.
A weird story about some food additives. My dad was eating some peanut butter one day, and he was just reading the bottle, and it said something about salmon being in it. So he just tossed that thing. And then when I was in high school, which was not very long ago, 2017, I graduated, and they had, like, fat-free chocolate milk, and I played football, so I just drank, like, 20 of those things a day. I was really confused on how there was no fat in it, but there was fat in the normal milk. It was weird, but it was really good. Probably. Okay.
Yeah, Mountain Dew has brominated vegetable oil in it. I found that out about 10 years ago after I had been drinking it for about 20 years. What are you going to do? Beedoo-beedoo.
Yep, it lowers your sperm count, too.
Does it?
Nah, that was the old rumor. It had one of the dyes in it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, dark history is rather enlightening, as usual. Like, we need even more proof that our government hates us. Listen to all the stuff. There's Silly Putty and Lord knows what else, man. That's so upsetting. Y'all have a good day.
I mean, everyone always makes the point, and it's true, that the amount of sugar in American bread would qualify it as cake in many European countries.
Shane, this is Bubba from the grave. I finally figured it out, that the propylene damn gas are all in a fireball. But,
The fireball is what got him in the end.
Great dark history segment, EZ. It made me hungry. I'm going to run out and get an arsenic burger and some Silly Putty fries.
You just don't think about it in the long run.
just think how good it feels and how tasty it is in your mouth.
And then hope you can pass it later.
Hey, Shannon, the reason a 20-year-old or 30-year-old is watching anime is because they're hooked on anime porn. So they just get off watching it in general. Just like a true sex offender would do.
Yo, listen, bro. You have to watch Tokyo Ghoul. If you don't know what anime is, you gotta watch Tokyo Ghoul first, or at least Parasite. I didn't get into anime until I was like 25. I ain't know nothing about it. I thought it was just for kids. But the storyline is crazy. They got blood and guts and all kind of stuff. You have to watch one. Start with Tokyo Ghoul.
Tokyo Gold? Is that
Ghoul. Young Me Chai
what?
Wang Park.
Ghoul. Ghoul, okay. Yeah. All
right. Hey, yeah, so I went to one of those women's sports bars here in the Panhandle, and we were watching a women's soccer game, and a huge fight broke out on the field, ended up in a huge pileup, and this one woman had a big gash on her forehead. Be-doo.
On the field?
Yeah. I see what he did there.
There's not a women's sports bar in Fort Walton Beach, is there? You don't have a big gash on your forehead.
I mean, that's a great name for a women's sports bar, though.
What?
The big gash. The
And this women's sports situation, you guys need to look up Bill Burr. He has a great take in one of his last comedy specials about the WNBA and women's sports in general. You'll love it. Be-doo.
Did I skip one? I don't think I did. Let's keep going.
Hi, guys. Women's sports may actually be getting more interesting considering all the men playing in them.
Right.
Hey, fellas, back in the day when the WNBA first started, I was working for NBA Entertainment, mostly for the Warriors. But during WNBA season, they would have us go over to Sacramento, and the only people at those games for the Sacramento Monarchs were lesbians on dates and families with little girls who played basketball.
We could have a topic about ham. And Matt from Laguna would call and go, hey, guys, back when I worked for Hormel and was in the canned ham division.
I said, also, always sound like he's getting up out of bed.
Yeah. He's either getting in or out of a bed or some hospital situation.
I don't think there's any way that robotic arm with the fake hand, palm of the hand tissue could do the same thing as a massage from a human. I think part of the concept of massage is the exchange of that energy and the upliftingness of, you know, two bodies touching and that type of thing.
Ew, that just creeped me out. That's the last thing I want to hear before Yogi Shuhu, the 68-year-old Japanese guy, gives me a rubdown.
Okay. Now
I want
we
to
see.
Connect your energy.
We're going to connect some energy. Do you want the heating gel or the cooling gel?
You want hand job finish?
Hey, if these new massage AIs have Kate's voice, I'm in.
Okay, if you could put an AI voice in it and then maybe like some artificial drips of sweat from a German woman that I feel on my back.
So there is a problem with the whole robot handy thing. The computer command of jerk off is taken way too literally.
Be-doo. Yeah, you might want to, yeah.
Yeah, you got to phrase it differently.
Yeah, certainly.
Best negotiation I ever made with my ex-wife. She gets the massage, I get the happy ending.
This sounds great until she goes to a 6'7", Swedish dude.
Done for your jerk. For your hand job.
When I'm fortunate enough to get a massage, though, I have this woman who is outstanding at many different styles of massage and does one in particular where she holds onto these bars, like sort of on the ceiling, and she walks on me.
What?
That's intense. And then she'll do these cuppings where I've come out like I have big hickeys all over. I'm not sure if that's helping much, but the feet part's good.
I wouldn't mind, you know, not the Helga girl that's rubbed my back. It's going to have to be some little Asian girl that walks on my back. You know, I don't want, all right, let me walk on back now. I don't think that's going to happen. Look, I'm happy with I had this ball. I brought it in here when I was having back problems. You suction part of it to a flat surface with a suction cup. And you slide on this ball, and it rotates in this little holder. And you're in charge of all of it, the pressure, where it is, and you get right where you need to be. And then Chubbs, it fell off the wall, and he chewed the suction cup up, and I can't use it anymore.
So how long before somebody tries to get one of them massage robots to, you know, give a handy shandy or
that's my name.
Do something similar to what that guy did with the vacuum? Beedoo beedoo.
I don't know. I'm not aware of the guy with the vacuum.
Anime is crap. My stepdaughter's all into that crap. Her and her husband, they're like in their late 20s. They got figurines all set up like this, displaying fine china and stickers on a car. But yes. I'd rather watch Home Shopping Network. That crap is garbage.
You guys were talking about warning labels. Don't you think it's funny that you got to provide that kind of information? I've been in the transportation industry, and there's all this knee-jerk reaction anytime somebody pulls in front of a train with things like Brightline. But you got to keep adding more and more stuff. For 100-plus years, just don't get in front of the train. There's plenty of warning lights and all that. That's more like de-evolution than evolution, which seems contradictory with all the technological advances.
Folks, I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com today. And with every dehydrated Mantee Blood Boner Pill that is sold, you will receive a free one-half-gallon paint, UN White. Order now.
On your dad bod story, you guys can't really believe that women prefer that. That's all remnants of the Frankfurt School leftists from the 30s that left Germany, infiltrating academia and psychology, pop culture, etc., trying to tell you stuff you know ain't right. McCarthy was correct. They just infiltrated slowly. It's like you're seeing your kids every day. You don't notice a change. But as an uncle showing up 5 years later, you notice a change. That's why where we're at.
Godzilla is a sad character, very sympathetic. He's kind of like Frankenstein. He comes out of badness that humans do and create. In his case, it was nuclear radiation, if I remember correctly, but that's his retaliation, and it's a metaphor, and you gotta get past the kitschiness of it all and not laugh too hard to see the real story in there. It's good.
I'm so lost. These things are coming in. Are they numbering themselves automatically now?
No, I am.
Oh.
Okay. Hey, Shannon. Was thinking about you whenever Mike brought up Mel Gibson. I just happened to see a movie the other night with Mel Gibson as a radio show host. And it was pretty good. It's called On the Line. I don't know if you've seen it or not. It's on Netflix. But it's crazy. So give it a shot if you haven't seen it.
I've heard about it.
Well, I'm a little late in game. Sorry about that.
I think Mike talked about last week. He wasn't a fan.
He wasn't a fan?
Yeah.
I just want to put it out there. I know Kate likes to take showers, but if she ever takes a bath, I would like to come over and salt burn her bathtub.
Gross.
My mother-in-law from Puerto Rico has recently moved in, and she loves Movie Man Max Picks. Beater, beater.
All right.
2025, Good Friday. It's Jesus, the resurrection. He has returned. And I'm not alone.
Hey, Jesus, would you like me to sing you a little song? It's one for the money, it's two for the show.
No, I've come to save the children.
That's what I tried to do, Jesus. I tried to save the children.
Not like that, Michael. Hey, Jesus. Hey, can I get a car?
This is all Adam Sandler's fault. Adam, medium pace.
Well, everyone, it sounds like we now have a new category on Pornhub. Rectum gas nozzles.
I just called in pretending to be Bubba. Sure did sound like Larry the Cable Guy. Just saying.
All right, the Bubba from the grave was pretty damn good. I hope he calls again sometime. Beat a bit.
Oh, wait.
Me and my buddy thought he'd be fun.
Hey, there's a guy. Anime at 25? Really? Beater, beater.
Me and my buddy thought it'd be funny to go into a lesbian bar. So we went in this place, Scissor Sisters. Turns out it wasn't a gay bar, but we got some great haircuts.
Oh my God, Shannon, you just made me almost run off the road. The canned ham division. Too funny.
Does Matt from Laguna have a page on Twitter? Oh my God, that guy's got to know so much.
He's on Twitter.
To see Kate getting a massage, take my money.
Yo, guys, I'm really sorry that my stupid remark got in the middle of Kate's flow. She was really going there if you put those two together.
I'm visualizing what kind of wall it is that you suction cup this ball onto, and then visualizing you and your tidy whities leaning up against this rolling thing on the side of your house.
Ugh. I do it indoors, sir, and I'm a boxer briefs guy, by the way.
So he was doing a lot of visualizing.
Sure was.
This is Chubbs. I chew up one ball. You take both mine. That ain't right, dude. Be a
beater. My poor buddy.
Sorry, Nancy guy number two. I missed the whole show, but I'm getting the remarks. Shannon, if you could tell us what that little cup thing was, and not for that kind of reason. I would just like to know because, I've got shoulder pain, So, anyways, if you could elaborate on what that
it's
was.
It's a suction
Thank
cup.
You.
It's a suction. It's a cup, a big, round, 6-inch, and you put it to the wall. It's got a lever that pow, it snaps into place. It sucks it in. And then it's got another apparatus that has a ball, a round ball in a case that's holding it in a structure that a ball would sit in, and it was, so the ball doesn't come out, but it still allows it to roll independently.
Go to Amazon for wall mountable suction cup muscle massage ball. And
I swear, I got to get another one.
Oh my God, I was just waiting for Alex Jones to tell me more about UNY.
Hey, Shannon, the movie you were talking about with movie man Mike with the little baby King Kong. It's called Mighty Joe Young.
Yes, thank you.
Yo, who's that lady with that crazy ass voice? She's on there like 4 or 5 times. Shannon, is that your wife?
No. I always got a raspy voice.
I know, sorry, Nizzy.
Okay, Kendall.
Shannon, I had that massage suction cup deal. It worked good. I had the happy ending version, though.
I brought it here once. If Chubbs hadn't, I swear by this thing, you put it on anywhere, any height you want, and anywhere you put your back on it, your shoulder on it, your lower back on it, and the pressure is all of it, it depends on you.
I missed the part where you described rubbing up against a ball attached to a wall, but the way that guy described it made me vomit a little in my mouth.
Okay. All right, folks. Get real. Those are the remarks for today, for this week, as a matter of fact. Thank you for leaving them. They are powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. We'll take our last break and come back to wrap it up for you. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm surprised that nobody knows about the suction cup ball back massager.
Yeah, you're really blowing people's minds and also giving them fantasies over the weekend, apparently.
There's nothing sexual about it at all. It's all about, rolling on your back right where you need it, Like, the car wash that I take the cars to, they've got a couple of those chairs right in there. Those are okay for $1 for whatever, 3 minutes. My brother, Kevin, had a massive chair that you got in. The whole chair would turn your body to your zero gravity. Facing straight up, you don't know what your eyes are closed. It's got music in the back. It's all these different things. I don't have the dough for that, but it's like a $10,000 chair.
That's those old Sharper Image chairs.
It's like a times 10. Yeah. But I have the suction cup ball, and I have a couple of those things you wrap around your neck that look like a U shaped yoke with balls in the middle, and you put them on your neck and like, and I have an inversion table. Which Kim's ex-husband gave me. Now I know why he gave it to me, because you can't put it anywhere. You know what I mean? It's a big stand-up thing that you stand in, and you lock your ankles in, and you slowly swing back and hang upside down. So the only place I could do it is in the driveway, because the only place it fits is in the garage. So when I do feel like, I got to stretch out, I'll drag it out of the driveway. Kids are next door playing soccer. I'm like getting in there. It's Saturday afternoon. I start to tip, and I go all the way over. And the kid's like, "What?" Before I know it, I'm upside down facing the street, and I got like three kids bouncing a soccer ball. Bing.
Bing. Just staring at
just
you.
Just looking at me. Bing. I'm like laying there. My face is turning red. My veins are popping.
Mr. Burke, should we save you?
You can get into a situation in those chairs where you may need some help. You got to know exactly where to. You know, I didn't want to get into that situation. I'm all about, I don't have a home gym. There's no place to put something like that inside the house. I can't ask my wife just to elbow my back all the time. All right, that's it for us. Great week of radio. Thank you very much. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thanks to this audience growing every day here in Central Florida. Have a great Easter with your family. And we'll be back on Monday, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. Bubba the Love Sponge will start the morning off on this network with the aid of pharmaceuticals. Don Miller will take the baton from there. And then we'll see you on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a good night.